So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time.
Waiting for tonight.
Listen to Review Man.
Restless bumping all around me. People pinning CM Punk. It's the season of blood and body slamming. Merry Christmas, Way and John. Time for cages and gimmick matches. People chanting all night long. Time for matches and exchanging titles. Time for listening, reviewer all. We're gonna review away tonight. I'm gonna find waiting. Underneath the mistletoe, we'll kiss by the ring lights. Bodies falling, harlot calling. All the results we love to hear. And I wish that every day had the lure. What a nice way to spend the year. We're gonna have a pay-per-view tonight. I'm gonna find Pollock underneath the mistletoe. We'll kiss by the ring lights. Agnew's cutting off the callers. Down the mouth is having fun. It's the year of John Pollock and waiting. Merry Christmas, Way and John.
Merry Christmas, Way and John.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Way and John.
Merry Christmas. It's John Pollock and Way Ting here on Christmas morning. And Way, outside of my wife, there's no one I would rather spend Christmas morning with than you.
Thanks,
and
man.
Here I am.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
I am very excited about today's first ever Review Away Christmas show.
Yeah.
Woo! Is this your favorite Christmas by far? It's Christmas morning and you're drinking beer.
I'm drinking beer.
And I've got an energy drink to wake up to.
Yes, this is the best. It's the only podcast I've ever done on Christmas. Correct me if I'm wrong, please.
But you might get fact checked on that.
But as far as I know, the only podcast I've done on Christmas morning. Should I be floating right now?
You are going to be floating by the end because one of the Christmas presents that was sent to us was to you this
what?
Christmas eggnog from our good pal Conan that he sent that later on in the show you're going to try some of.
Oh, awesome. Cool.
And we will find out the effects.
What could be different?
I'm sure nothing. You're a big eggnog connoisseur?
Not really.
It's so very nice to get this gift.
Okay. Thank you.
From our good pal over at MLW Radio.
Yeah.
That song off the top, Way, was from, and some work put into that one. Apparently an entire day, that listener Tom Carstairs, I hope I'm not butchering that name, and his sister Charlie lending the vocals to. What a song. We were so impressed. We were like, that has to lead off this Christmas edition.
That song was awesome.
I loved it.
When I heard that, that was like the epitome of what I think you and I were looking for when we announced this thing, this Christmas jingle. Because, I mean, how much more jingly can you get than the bell sounds? Like, how much more jingly can you get?
Yes.
And, like, just musically, I thought it was very well put together. I mean, lyrically, I thought it was great. And, like, man, the guitar solo. We had a guitar solo in there.
Like, this was an actual song that I'm probably going to put on my iPod.
With our names in it.
Yes. That's the added touch that I like, because when you throw out a contest like this, you could very well just send us some song that's not directly made for us.
Yeah.
It could just be a random Christmas song you find. And that one, specifically made for Review Away. The personal touch that adds something to the whole delivery.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very flattered. Thank you for taking that time and hope you enjoyed doing that with it. And thank you to your sister for dragging her into this.
Yes. Now, a lot of people have downloaded this show and they're looking at the sheer length and thinking to themselves, they're not reviewing anything. This is the first non-review review away we've ever done, I believe.
No, that's arguable.
Well, we're not reviewing any tangible thing.
I suppose that is true.
So what the fuck are they going to spend this amount of time that I see? Why is this file so big?
Yeah.
Way we have a huge show planned. Some surprise guests. We're just going to be opening the door to random people that are going to join us. And it's going to be kind of a Royal Rumble-themed show.
Hmm.
Where we're going to find out who's behind door number one. It's all going to be surprises throughout the show.
We did the lottery draft earlier today.
Yes. It's all the luck of the draw.
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, to get things underway, so as Howard Finkel would say, let's find out who drew number one.
Hold me close against your skin. I'm about to begin loving you. Spit on your hand and stroke my cock at a medium pace. Play with my balls and tell me how big they are. Honey, rub your beaver up and down my face. Sit on the corner of the bed and watch me whack off.
Would you ever come out to that song? Or have you ever?
I tried to, actually.
And they didn't want that.
No.
Probably.
No, Jason Haddon, I was like, did you ask somebody? And he's like, look, it's not going to get approved. Like, oh, damn.
All right, Wei. Drawing entrant number one here. We're starting this off big. Who could be better than the man that got rave reviews the last time he was on with you? Filthy Tom Lawler with us here on the special Review Away Christmas show.
Woo!
Tom. Merry Christmas, Tom.
Merry Christmas to you too, John Away. Although I am disappointed with my draw at number one. I'm still going to go out there. I'm going to put on one hell of a show.
Well, you know, Tom, they always put the number one guy, he's the guy that can work the minutes and is someone that, you know, they have that plan. He might not win the Rumble, but he is going to be the one that usually will go 20, 25 minutes and gets a bit of a spotlight every single year.
Yeah, I'll probably be lucky if I go 25 seconds, if my pass is any indication.
Well, you went more than Broadway with Wei the last time you were on, receiving tremendous reviews for your appearance on Review of Raw. Clearly the highlight of 2013. Would you not agree, Tom?
I would go as far to say it's probably the highlight of the millennium, in my estimation. 2013, yeah, it was one damn good show. And I appreciate all the fans out there, all the Lawler maniacs, who gave me such great reviews. And I promise that if I once again make an appearance, I'll put forth my best foot, and you'll get a great performance out of me.
You might get that opportunity in the very near future. Wei Ting might be enlisting some of your services in a clean version. This year, Tom, a very, very big one. I want to get your kind of thoughts. You know, a number of big figures within their respective fields walking away from said industry. We had George St. Pierre just last week vacating the welterweight title, Kenta Kobashi having his retirement match, and Seth Petruzzelli calling it a career. I mean, some monumental announcements this year in the world of combat sports.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting about that is that Seth Petruzzelli might be the only person that's calling what he did a career.
Ooh. Some heat here. Is there a legitimate heat here? I notice you and Seth, it seems that there's some animosity here, I think, that is building and simmering from interview to interview.
I wouldn't quite say that. You know, I think there needs to be some sort of competition if there's going to be heat between two people. And, you know, I obviously don't see him as any competition.
What is he doing now that he's done? Like, is he just sitting back and relaxing, or is he still training actively?
I don't know. I thought he died.
Oh, wow.
This is the fight I want to see. Tom Lawler, Seth Petruzzelli.
Yeah.
This is the unofficial audio here for the countdown special.
How many viewers do you think that we would get for that one?
I think quite a lot, to be honest with you. I think you and Seth Petruzzelli, that's an easy... Hey, if the UFC's right. Introducing this new digital platform, that's a main card fight for me.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you think that way, but usually they don't put squash matches on the main card.
How is the knee doing, Tom? It was April. You injured it. Any update you can provide us? Any fight you can? Do you have a target for 2014?
No, actually, I don't. I did happen to find an old used UFC belt in the trash out behind the offices in Las Vegas, and. You know, I've taken upon myself to crown myself as the new UFC hardcore champion.
Wow, you're...
And I will be... I'll
taking a page from Jim Duggan's book with the television title.
Yes, and also Mick Foley.
That's true.
So I'll be defending that title under 24/7 rules. Anyone that can find me and defeat me, pin my shoulders to the mat, 1, 2, 3, or submit me, or knock me out, can win that title.
What is your? Are you obviously you follow the product almost more closely than any of us? What is your take on what's going on with the WWE right now? What do you think they're doing? How do you think they're doing?
That's a loaded question. You know, they've actually had a lot of ups and downs this year, as far as like the direction of the product. From my point of view, I think right now. I don't know, it's really weird. It's kind of unpredictable in a way, because everything seems to be so predictable.
Right.
You know, so I'm almost waiting for, you know, one big thing or one shocking thing to change my mind and go, oh, you know, like, now I can see where this is headed all along. But it doesn't seem that way. You know, I don't even know, maybe like a Shield or Wyatt's feud would get me excited. But it doesn't look like they're going to go that direction, even after... You know, the one segment where they did battle it out a little bit, and the crowd went nuts.
Yeah.
So you would think that you would want to give the crowd what they want, and it just doesn't seem like, you know, WWE is interested in doing that at this point. So I'm not, like, soured on the product at all. You know, I still think, obviously, it's, you know, the number one promotion in the U.S., so, you know, I just like to follow it and see where it's going.
How about looking ahead to New Japan? They've got their Tokyo Dome show coming up next week, actually. Are you planning to be watching it? And in particular, the debut of Hollis and Daniel Gracie against Kazushi Sakuraba and Yuji Nagata.
I'll watch it. I probably won't watch it live just due to the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll definitely be watching it.
Can this be anything but a train wreck?
That match?
Yeah, that match.
No. Probably not. No. If it was, you know, Sakuraba and Nagata on opposing teams or something along those lines, maybe, but yeah, I don't see any way that that's gonna be a good match. I am pumped up for Nakamura and Tanahashi. I wanna see what's gonna happen there.
We might not get a chance to talk to you before the new year. We probably won't because you're a very busy man. But what is your match of the year of 2013?
My match of the year for 2013. I don't know. Probably one of the Shibata matches, whether it was against Ishii or... Goto, I would say either one of those.
Do you think they go with?
And they're just.
Sorry,
go ahead.
I was just going to ask you if you think they go ahead with Shibata in kind of a title position in 2014. It seems like he's kind of been left out of the title picture. And to me, that's a fresh face that, you know, they're trying to get with Naito right now that hasn't really clicked. And to me, Shibata, those are a lot of fresh matches with Okada, with Tanahashi, and just a fresh face on top in New Japan.
Yeah, no, I agree. I thought that they were going to push him during the G1. I thought he would win it, you know, probably. I think a lot of people thought that it would be him and Nakamura maybe in the finals and give Shibata a big win over, you know, an already established guy. But, I would like to see him in that main mix, and it would definitely change up the style of work that's been in the main events lately. You know, like Tanahashi and Okada are great at what they do, but it's more of kind of like an Americanized style, like a, you know, professional wrestling style. Where Shibata is almost, you know, the exact opposite and more like a completely almost work shoot environment. Him and Suzuki and guys like that. Although Suzuki does a lot of pro wrestling moves as well. But
all right, well, we'll let you go, Tom. We appreciate you for stopping by the Review Away Christmas show. Our last question.
Whoa! See, you guys told me that I was going to go all 60 minutes here. Well, now I'm getting bumped out already. I feel like Ziggler. What's the deal?
We will fully admit that we have overbooked this show. We have completely. This is like a Russo Nitro where we are going to cram a lot into a small program. And you, I think, by the end of it, you're going to look and say, "Hey, they let me go really long here on this show." So in hindsight, Lawler, you might turn out to be the Ric Flair or the Bob Backlund of '93 of this particular Review Away Christmas show. But quickly, to end off on the theme, who wins the Rumble next month?
Punk.
Punk. All right. We're going to ask everybody that question today. Thank you very much, Tom. Follow him on Twitter at FilthyTomLawler. And when he is ready to officially confirm that he's going to be fighting Seth Petruzzelli, he will break it on this show. I know he will. And Tom, you have a great New Year's, and we will chat with you in 2014.
You too. Take care. I'm going to the pay window.
Love it.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. We'll talk to you soon, man.
No problem.
Thanks
Merry
a
Christmas.
Lot. Cool.
Yeah. Have a, you guys celebrate Christmas?
Yeah. We do sometimes in Canada. Depends on if it's an odd year. So we're in luck this year.
Well, I didn't know if Asians celebrated Christmas.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, we have a thing called an Asian Christmas.
Well, I don't know. All the Chinese food restaurants and
it's
Korean
weird. We do. For the most part, everybody does. But it's not like religious or anything in the least.
It involves a lot of karaoke.
Of course, every festival
and
does.
And Long Island.
Yeah. Yeah, every holiday does.
That's what my Christmas is like, actually.
Well, you're practically Asian, then.
Yeah.
New gimmick. New gimmick for the next entrance. There you go.
I'm Caucasian.
There you go.
Yes, yes. Very nice.
All right. Take it easy, Tom. We will chat with you soon.
See you, Tom.
All right. Have a good holiday, guys.
Tom Lawler stopping by, Way.
Wow.
We've started it off big.
Yeah.
With the filthy one.
I know. Well, unfortunately, he couldn't make it for the rest of the show.
Well, we've got to keep things on track, Way. We've got a lot of surprises still to come. That was guest number one of many.
Did you see his entrance? Oh, my God.
He fell right over.
Yeah.
That was not designed for audio.
He
right on Skype.
Yeah.
Falling over as he entered.
Yeah.
With his headset on.
Really outdid
tripping
himself.
Over the cord.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much to Tom Lawler for joining us. And this Christmas edition, Way, it's going to be kind of a look at 2013 in many different regards, as well as a look ahead to 2014. And as you look back at 2013, what stands out for you, just in life?
In life? Was
this a good year for Wei Ting?
It was. I had a really good year. I mean, I guess people are kind of sick of me talking about it, but I've been dedicating myself a lot more to jiu-jitsu. And,
I have not.
Well, I mean, never too late to make some goals for next year.
There's always, people talk about Catholic guilt. I've got way guilt.
I don't mean to guilt you.
I feel like I'm not doing what I should be, and I get lazy.
Well, then why don't you just come out more often?
I should.
Keep saying that. Just
I know
do
I
it.
Should. I should just.
Should.
I should just be honest
don't say
and be
I
like it's a coin flip.
Don't say I should. Say I will.
I'm gonna try.
No.
I'm not going to
be
one of those that makes a New Year's resolution to go to jiu-jitsu every week. I know I won't be able to do it.
Well, I personally don't even believe in New Year's resolutions. If you want to do it, just do it. Just, you know. Anyway, so yeah, that's been a lot of fun. I've been making some really great strides with my friends and coaches at Open Man, and it's just been a fantastic, almost a life-changing thing for me.
What's been your biggest improvement from December 25th, 2012 to 2013 on this very day?
Like in general?
In jiu-jitsu, I mean.
Oh, in
jiu-jitsu? Where were you last year as compared to right now?
Well, I mean, the thing about jiu-jitsu is like the more you do it every single time, you're always gaining a new skill. It's just like, it's really like anything else, you know, like doing this podcast. The more you do it, the more repetitions you do it, the better you get. Or, I don't know, hopping on one foot. I'm sure the more you do it, the you'll be an expert eventually. And I'll say maybe my just like you know at the white belt level the key to Or what I've always been told is just, you're really just aiming to survive right at this point. We're constantly going up against guys that are, you know, tougher, bigger than me. And it's just, I guess, you know, not getting tapped out all the time. I still get tapped out, of course, but like not getting tapped out all the time, maybe even tapping out people occasionally. That's been an improvement.
You and I went to a lot of places together in 2013. Is there one particular city you enjoyed above all the rest, whether before the event or just a city you got to go to, maybe for the first time?
That you and I went to.
Yeah, we went to New York.
I really like New York. I mean, I love New York anyway, but that was a really fun weekend. Going to all the wrestling shows, seeing a lot of our friends, and then, you know, going to that Raw in New Jersey. That was
a great time. Which wasn't even, you know, part of the plans originally. And then we ended up staying an extra day, got to go to Raw.
Yeah.
That was a crazy Raw.
Of course, your bachelor party out in Montreal.
Oh,
that was also
a lot of fun.
An eventful time. Storming the Santa Claus parade.
Any memory of Winnipeg? Our week in Winnipeg?
Of course. Not so much for, you know, what we did in the city, but of course all the people that we ran into.
That was by far the one where I was blown away by the amount of people in that city that, well, granted, we're in a kind of concentrated area of interest, that being fighting. The amount of people that watch the Fight Network.
Oh,
like, I've never experienced that anywhere.
Yeah.
I walk around in Toronto, no one's going to stop me. Winnipeg, it was ridiculous there.
Yeah.
How many people were there that watched the Fight Network? They knew who you were. They knew who I was.
I don't know if they knew who I was.
Yes, they did.
But anyway, we're a big deal. Wait till you step into Africa.
Yeah, we just expanded to Africa.
Yeah, the Fight Network has just recently expanded to 19 countries in Africa.
Well, when UFC Africa hits and we go over there, look out.
Yeah.
Newark was definitely my worst one. Not
what?
For WrestleMania. For 4 weeks later, when I went there for UFC 159 for John Jones and Chael Sonnen, and I stayed at a hotel in between the airport and the penitentiary that was completely closed off from anything. There was no surrounding stores. It was on its own. You had to take a bus to get anywhere or a taxi. It was terrible. And I was by myself on top of it. I didn't have anyone. I'm sure it would have been a much more bearable trip if I was there with you, but I was all by my lonesome.
Hmm. No, that's too bad.
That was a depressing one.
Well, where are you going to go coming up in January?
I'm not going. Oh, I am going somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to Hawaii in January.
Yeah, why'd you have to stop?
Because I was trying to remember what city
it was. Trying to make
Hawaii.
A joke?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I went to Russia
in 2013. What are you covering in Hawaii?
Rumble on the Rocks doing a special reunion show.
Oh, okay.
They're going to have Anderson Silva's protege against Yushin Okami's protege play off the January 2006 fight.
Great.
And I'm going to be there cage side.
Nice.
Yeah,
cool.
That'll be fun.
Okay.
What else happened this year for you, Wei? We're going to get to some music in a minute here.
What else happened to me this year? I got a staph infection. That sucked.
Oh, yeah. You got staph.
That was
this
one
year.
Of the shitty parts of, you know, jiu-jitsu.
But, yeah, you had to, like, miss work and stuff for that.
Yeah, it was just more precautionary. Just because, I mean, personally, I didn't even feel like working. I was like, oh, shit, I don't want to do this. And, but you know what? Like, it was very mild. Like, it was just sort of, like, on the surface. And it was actually really educational for me to learn how to avoid polysporin.
We have a lot of stuff to get to as I look here. I'm going to keep the small talk small because we have predictions to go through from people, topics they want us to discuss, music entries. So let's not waste any more time. Here is Danny Hernandez, who has sent us in this song, composed by himself, I do believe, and it is Christmas themed.
Well,
so we're going to keep our mics up.
Okay.
So if we want to discuss, we can.
What up, yo? This is Trending Danny, Dan Hernandez, Bush Danny H on Twitter. Christmas time at the Law Brother. The tune of the classic Run DMC, Christmas time in Hollis.
What are we watching, what?
It's an edited video.
It's Christmas time, a Law Radio. Grab your drink to start the show. Martin Horton for John, off his brand for Way, and good episode impact for Brother and Mate. Infinity Toronto is their flagship show. Walter has two really good hosts. It's Law Office Holiday Party with some implications. Way Bro has a play. K careless whispers of dedication.
Wow.
Brandon Harrison's on the board. Take your name and make sure you get on the show. If your call sucks, you will hear it. Listen, Agnew has been known to having a trigger finger. Title Bell Trivia is lots of fun. Why don't you just win a DVD of K1? Thanks to you guys. Have a merry, merry Christmas. I've been around with 5150. Whoa! Back at the party at the ACC. We're just retired from the WWE. IWC is all connected. Now join the law pro boards, okay? And during the dance break, I was going to play the promo from AJ Styles, but I think that was just shitty. So, well,
okay.
Let's hope Millionaire Bill buys TNA and he'll fix it up. Remember Millionaire Bill? He got them Benjamins, baby.
This is only half the song. There's like a whole nother verse. And John's fading out right now. Well, but that was cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, Danny.
That, I'm always going to be partial when they can incorporate and showcase that they are a listener and they're aware of what goes on. I mean, look at that. You had references to Title Bout Trivia, Braden Harrington.
The only mention you'll ever find in any type of song to the Law Pro Boards. So thank you very much. That was cool. And I love, you know what I love about that? I love rappers that are offbeat. And, you know, musically offbeat. Like rappers that can't stay on beat. I think it's a very unique style. So, great job.
Danny also sent us the following, which we did ask for. Presents for superstars. Eva Marie, 5 minutes in the closet with Conan. Okay, well, that doesn't sound like a...
What?
I don't know. So he can teach her...
What is this? What is all this? What does this mean? What do you mean, presents to superstars?
I don't know.
What are you talking... What was the idea?
Well, I was asking for some creativity, like...
Oh, what would you give a superstar?
A Christmas present to your favorite or least favorite performer.
All right, okay.
Like, maybe someone wants to give Wei Ting a... What would be something to give you? A blue belt. I'd love to give away a blue belt.
You can't just give somebody that.
Well, he's earned it. Okay, let's go to his predictions. Hoping for 2014 Raw to become 2 hours again. Gets on Fox Sports 1 after 5 years. Raw gets a 4.0 rating. Daniel Bryan and Brie Wedding will be at SummerSlam. So there you go. Some predictions from Danny.
That would be terrible. Have their wedding at SummerSlam?
All these years later. A tribute to Randy Savage and Elizabeth.
Storyline summer wedding, yeah.
Uh-oh, wait, do you hear that?
Oh, my God.
We have another guest.
Who could it be? He's coming. He's going to come down the aisle.
Merry Christmas, Damian Abraham. It's John Pollock and Wei Ting.
Hey, what up, guys? How's it going?
We're just gonna go right into things, Damian. We don't want to waste a minute with the man who joins us here, a beloved member of the Law family. How is Christmas morning in the Abraham household?
Well, it was an early one, as is every day in the Abraham household, Abraham Moses Brettler household, I should add, because we have two kids, John, so we're up super early. This is the first time we talked since Russia. Welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be back. I enjoy you, I enjoyed all the cameos we got on the shows throughout those weeks. It helped me get through some extremely dead time in Russia, where there was a lot of free time before life got insane in Russia. But I survived, yeah. So that was a positive.
Oh, that's excellent. I'm glad you got back because, I think Nate, myself, Brian were all ready to fill your shoes if you were thrown in a gulag or decided to help Greenpeace or Pussy Riot get out of jail.
The biggest problem in Russia was the drivers there. One of our colleagues, Corey Erdman, went out jogging one morning and got smoked by a car. Well, luckily, he was okay.
He wasn't smoked.
He was hit by a car.
A car backed
into
him.
He went down from the impact.
Well, a car backed into
him. Oh, jeez.
Listen, this is all about exaggeration, Wei. He got smoked by a car, nearly died in Russia.
They warn you when you get there, do not jaywalk.
There literally were people as they sprinted across the streets, like with the look of just horror on their face. Like, cars don't slow down in Russia. It's nuts.
And they're also huge streets.
Man, what have you been up to of late? Where was the last country you have visited, Damian? You had a... Take us through some of the spots you hit in 2013 with the group.
Man, I don't know what I'm. You know what, John? This is gonna ruin the flow. But I'm gonna put on my brand new headphones so I can hear you guys better.
Okay, you do it.
Now what do we do? Now what do we talk about?
Let's wait till we hear the comparison.
Law tradition, you guys don't edit that out.
I don't think we will. Though we have so much stuff of this show, I'll probably forget this this whole part. This
is
much like fire alarms, Damien. We don't edit anything out.
No, that's I heard that on the last or was that Review of Raw? That was Review of Raw.
That was
right?
Review Away.
Review Away.
It all becomes a blur.
One of those shows.
I hear you guys so much. It's weird talking to you now because it's like when you called me, because it was on my phone. I just naturally expected me to have no engagement with you and Wei because I'm so used to hearing your voice and you and Wei just relate to each other.
I don't think I've ever called you on the phone. I don't think I've ever. It's only been by text or in person that I've ever spoken to you.
No, but then, John, you remember that I am a person a couple years older than Wei and yourself, and I don't know how to text properly, so I always call you back when you text me.
You're right. We have spoken on the phone because you did call me. You were this guy, when I got engaged last year, called me to congratulate me. Wow. And I like getting phone calls from people.
I meant to congratulate you on the wedding, too, but, you know, everything was so crazy. But congratulations on the wedding, John!
Thank you very much.
Way more exciting than any of the places I've been this year. Well, this is like way cooler. Way, way cooler. But the only thing that is exciting, John, that I haven't told you and Wei about... Oh, wait, did I tell you about this?
No.
I have hung out with and now become friends with another member of the Law family, Chris Jericho.
Oh, my goodness. You guys are just buds now. When are you going to be on his podcast?
As soon as he asks me. The moment he asks me. It'll be... unless I have a law engagement ahead of that. But apart from that, I am really ready. I love that podcast. Well, it's a great podcast.
What did you guys do? What did you guys hang out doing?
Wei, when I say we hung out, I mean in format, you know?
Little
slices of life from the road and things like that. But I got to say, he's the coolest wrestler I've ever met. Like, the most down dude. It's unbelievable how cool that guy is.
I guess this all started in Australia when you guys were over there?
Yeah, I think that was this year, too. That was in Australia that I met. I first met him there. And then he came over and he co-hosted an episode of The Wedge with me. And then we just kind of hung out a little bit. So, yeah, like a really awesome dude. So that's going to be, you know, like obviously all the stuff with the family and kids. But that's like right underneath there as the highlight of the year for me.
What were some of it when I say the year of 2013 as it pertains to pro wrestling? What comes to mind, whether big, small, or just random things that you took away from this year that got you happy or absolutely angered you as a fan?
Well, I've kind of mentioned it briefly on the show before, but I kind of think being a wrestling fan is the frustration of seeing where something could go and knowing how amazing that could be and then seeing where they go with it and being like, why did they do that? And I know people are like, you know, we all get angry about it and you know, it's a source of a lot of great conversation for you guys and stuff. But I think that's part of the joy of being a fan of wrestling is knowing that you could probably write it better. Any one of us could probably write it better. So for 2013, my takeaway has been the lack of anything done with Brian Danielson. Like just seeing him kind of languish there as everyone, like every fan wants him to do something with this guy. And I think that's been my big takeaway this year. And my other big takeaway has been how much I enjoy watching Ring of Honor TV. Like it's probably my favorite weekly show after Bob's Burgers.
I don't even know what that is.
What would you say in terms of what you'd
Ring
like?
Ring of Honor TV?
Just from Ring of Honor
no.
What you'd
Bob's
like.
Bob's Burgers.
Oh, okay. Bob, comment on Bob's Burgers and ROH for us.
You don't know Bob's Burgers, Wei?
What is that? Do you know what that is?
I don't know either.
You guys don't know Bob's Burgers.
Educate us, Damien. We're in a bubble.
I'm telling you, gentlemen, it is the funniest cartoon on TV. It is like a show that, you know, like so many of these animated family TV show done and all the plot lines have been done by The Simpsons and stuff like that. I don't know. I think Bob's Burgers takes a take on it that's mature but not like Family Guy silly. It's just awesome. Really, really good. H. John Benjamin's one of the voices. A lot of comedians. Sarah Silverman's been on it. Like every episode you watch, there's some sort of big name comedian doing a character as a cameo type thing. But it's a phenomenal show. But and then ROH TV has just gotten better and better every year. every episode this year for me. The last one last week, what's that guy, Silas Young?
Yes.
The Last Real Man?
The Last Real Man.
Have you seen his finisher?
I'm very much behind on ROH, so I'm not familiar with his finish. I mean, that guy's been around for so long. It's just over the last 6 months that they've kind of, you know, gotten behind this guy.
He's got a finisher now where he does this, like, headstand on the turnbuckle and then kind of vaults himself on the top turnbuckle, vaults himself off, and then kind of, like, does a twist in the air, bounces off the top rope, and then lands sort of a splash on top of the guy. And it is, like, next to the Canadian, right, like, since the Canadian Destroyer, the most spectacular kind of finishing move that I've ever seen. I was just blown away by it this week on TV. Granted, I was hanging out with Conan in spirit form in Iran at the time, but it was still, I think, even for John and Wei, a pretty mind-blowing finisher. Maneuver, I should say. Maneuver.
Right. Well, I'm literally planning to get caught up on ROH. I'm, like, 4 weeks behind, including Final Battle, and I'm planning to, during my off time, catch up on some ROH. Did you happen to see Final Battle?
I haven't seen it yet. I'm, like, also kind of behind, too, being the holidays and all, but it's, I've got it, like, you know, on my, I gotta check this out thing, because I, like, all my favorite wrestlers are kind of, like, not all my favorite wrestlers, but the guys that are being used properly right now all seem to be kind of, like, in ROH or PWG or you know, CZW even, and some of these Smash Wrestling here, and then some of these cool indies are, like, that's still where the excitement is, and that's still where I think the real joy is, like, going to a show and feeling that environment or watching it and just seeing, like, the crowd get behind someone on a small level. It's a lot going to a punk show to me. So.
What is your favorite type of marijuana?
Like, strain-wise, Wei?
No. I mean, like, the actual type. I'm actually, like, I've been reading Eddie Bravo's one of his jiu-jitsu books, and mm-hmm. like 40% of the book is about marijuana. So I've been trying to educate myself.
Well, like, it, basically with marijuana, there's a couple different sort of species, I guess, of the plant. There's an indica and a sativa, and mm-hmm. an indica is the one that's more of a body high, and a sativa is more of a head high. And then they blend the two plants together a lot now, and, like, sort of crossbreed these two types of plants. And so from these two mother species, you get hundreds and thousands of these strains. And every year there is, like anything else, there's, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of new strains that people are hyping up as the best weed strain and stuff. And I got to say, if you want to do my favorite strains of the year, Wei.
Yeah, so your favorite marijuana strain.
Ooh, the year of marijuana, quick.
Marijuana.
My John's like, really quick, we're going to get busted by the CRTC any second.
No,
I'm just kidding. I think if I was going to have to pick, my favorite thing is because of recent legalization in Africa, in parts of Africa, or one country in Africa, you get there's been a push for some of these African species, some of these seeds that have been over there. And never really, because outside of North America, it's all knob and tube lighting pretty much. And so you don't really have the same sort of ability to grow them that you do in North America. So a lot of these seeds are coming over here and being grown under sort of optimal first world, you know, privileged conditions. And now you're seeing these unbelievable plants coming out. So Congolese was my number one. That was a from the Congo strain.
And what are the effects? What are the different effects of something like that?
It's a lot. It's a very, there's, like, you know, like some people complain about paranoia or feeling tired. And this isn't like that at all. It's a very, like, heady, but, like, you're all there. You're very much aware of everything that's going on. And it's a beautiful flavor too. Smells nice. Looks nice. Cool. Oh my God. I hope my kids never listen to this podcast. Nigerian cat piss, I thought was pretty incredible.
Nigerian cat piss?
Yeah, it smelled and tasted a little like cat urine. But in a pleasant Wei. I know right now that's
how would,
like,
you,
impossible.
How would you, where did you get that? Like, how would you even know what cat piss tastes like?
Oh, I know what cat pee smells like, Wei. Unfortunately, I've had roommates and I've had cats. So okay. I've
you know how it tastes like? Do you?
I don't know what it tastes like, okay. But when you know when you're cleaning up something that's really pungent and disgusting, you go beyond smelling it, and you ultimately are getting, like, tiny microscopic particles in your mouth, and you are tasting it at that point.
Well, that's
right?
What farts are like. They're like poo particles.
Yeah, and that's what I think. This was kind of, that's how I know what your cat urine tastes like.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And then I guess, like, I had a private stock in L.A. that was incredible, and a Blackberry Kush in Seattle that was ridiculous.
So there's the top three from Damien. I'd love to continue this conversation.
I think that way we've now established for each guest, we need to get a kind of a list from each of them of something that pertains to them. Damien, we hope that we can grab you at some point in January for a review.
I would love to come
in. We haven't had the three of us do a review in quite some time. People are demanding it.
We'll have a
we need to get the gang back together. We should do something really fun and pick something really bad that everyone has to watch.
Yeah. Okay, well, why don't you brainstorm something ridiculous?
I will.
And let us know. Me and Wei will do anything.
And John, have a very Merry Christmas, and Wei, have a very good day off. And I hope to speak to you guys in the new year for the Western world.
Who's going to win the Royal Rumble next month, Damien?
You know what? Like, I really. That's the one thing about WWE. It's impossible to predict. Because anytime that people start getting a good logical prediction going, they're like, oh, yeah, you're going to see this. And so I have no idea who they're going to put in there. I would love if they brought up, like, Sami Zayn, or if they gave it to Daniel Bryan, or something like that. But realistically, I think it's probably going to wind up going to, you know, John Cena, so he can challenge Randy Orton for the unified title at WrestleMania. Or, like, you know, I know that there's the Undertaker stuff and all that sort of looming presence, but I don't know. I just think this, like, unified title, they got to be building something with it. And it's like they love John Cena, and they think that the only thing people like is John Cena.
A vote for John Cena.
I just want to think.
Not a vote. Like
a pick.
I'm like abstaining, sitting at home during Election Day, watching the results, being like, I called it, type thing.
Well, I want to thank you, Damien, for saying New Year for the Western world, because my New Year doesn't begin until February.
I know, and it's like,
you guys are really behind.
Well, I think they were actually ahead by like a couple thousand years too. So we kind of we're never going to catch up.
Yeah,
but
I'm not going to celebrate New Year's.
I think like this time of year we, you know, people are getting like, and I know, John, I don't want to start the Santa Claus debate and everything, but I think we get.
Is he white or black, Damien?
I think he's made up.
Hey, did you notice last Friday on SmackDown, Michael Cole flat out says Santa is a mythical figure, and he kept going over this, telling me Santa Claus is not real.
I know.
What the fuck?
I know, because you know what? That's the WWE's being like the parents. Hey, Merry Christmas! Your kids shouldn't be watching.
I would be. That would offend if I was a parent. That right there would make me more mad than any angle they've done. If my kid found out Santa was not real from Michael Cole, I would turn wrestling off forever.
Who is a fictitious character?
I would be so angry. Anyway,
it'd be amazing if that's what turns you off wrestling, is finding out that something isn't real.
If my kid found, I would turn wrestling off. That would be it for me.
Like,
I was legitimately upset thinking a kid watched that and heard that from Michael Cole.
If a kid is watching that and still believes in Santa Claus, he's probably also seen like some power bombs. So, you know, he's gonna be able to bust the shit out of his parents for lying to him for all those years now.
We've got a jet, Damien, but I want to thank you for all the times you hop on with us. We love chatting with you.
And I want to say, like, you know, one of the best Christmas presents that I get every day practically throughout the week is a show from you guys. And also, what's next? I got to say, two gentlemen that I have little or nothing in common with as far as music and social plans in the evening, but love that radio show. Hey. It's a really fun podcast, too, to listen to. So I'm enjoying. Thank you guys and everyone there for all the work you guys do for me.
So Damien Abraham.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just a little thrown off.
Why are you laughing?
Because it just seems like this amount of time has just passed from the entrance to the post-interview, post-match thing. Yeah, it just seems so sudden.
We're going to keep running through these.
Okay.
Mitch from West Midlands, UK. First-time poster, long-time listener. My band did, in fact, record our own Christmas song and film our own music video last year, and although it isn't wrestling-related per se, there is a fight scene in the video, so I'm hoping it qualifies. Let's get all of his comments in, and then we'll play the song at the end. My question to you is, although you briefly mentioned the WWE Greatest Rivalries DVD on a recent episode, which rivalry or rivalries would you both like to see featured if they put out another DVD in the series? I think in 2014 there will be a Chris Jericho comeback of some sorts, and that TNA might actually put on a good run of shows and pay-per-views like that of last summer. And to ruin your Christmas furthermore, Here's a photo of Damien, me and my friend from Birmingham in November of 2012, where me and Damien spoke about the law and Japanese wrestling. So you can go onto the Law Radio message board and you can see this photo of our listener Mitch with Damien Abraham, who's looking very Damien Abraham-like without a shirt on and a menacing look on his face.
How appropriate. The great question about that DVD. You know, I feel like we talked about this even on that particular review, but I'd always love to hear sort of a roundtable discussion, and I don't think it'll ever happen, but with Vince, Eric Bischoff, and Paul Heyman discussing, or even, you know what, just Vince and Eric Bischoff, just the two of them talking. But throw Paul Heyman in there, I'm sure it'd be that much more fun.
Even if you could get, I mean, Heyman and Vince, I mean, you could do that DVD tomorrow if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are some great ideas. I mean, there's so many options you could do of what I think would have a lot of appeal. Flair and Steamboat, you could easily have sit down. Yeah.
But I think part of the one that made that Bret Shawn one work so well is because there's so much real
issue.
Yeah, so much real animosity between the two.
Maybe you could get Leilani Kai and Fabulous Moolah to talk about the screw job of 1985 at Madison Square Garden as Spider Lady.
That would be difficult.
Yeah, that would be a hot seller. All right, here we go. Don't know if we'll get through the whole thing, but here's some of Mitch's song, The Real Quaid, I think is how you say their name. Thank God It's Christmas is their song. You can't appreciate this music video here in audio form, but...
We should talk. Describe it.
There's an elf asleep, and he's awakening. I like this. The elf has just fucked a Santa's helper. They're performing with a green screen, like the actual green screen. There's no graphics. That one's just like green. Maybe it is. It is our elf out there. I think he's proposing to a cat. Oh shit, that was a girl he was gonna propose to.
That was nice. That was really well done. Really professional.
Told a real story as well in that music video. Those are always the best kinds.
Cool.
Where you really get something as well. Okay, let's keep going here. Tanner from Parts Unknown. A gift for my favorite wrestler, Kevin Steen, gets a tryout with WWE. See, that's what I was asking for, you know?
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You know, a present. A gift for ROH fans would be high-definition production.
Well, they are HD. They are HD.
Are they?
Yeah.
On Sinclair?
Yeah. Yeah, you just probably don't get the channel. Yeah, on Fox, they're HD.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, they've always been HD.
Whatever I record it on, I'm pretty sure it's not HD.
Yeah.
As for topics... Talk about some of your elfing moments. Recap
no,
way...
We've talked
yeah,
more,
that,
enough.
That way story has been told way too many times. So, Tanner, download what's next this week, because Braden and Jay are going to talk all about Elfing 2013, which happened this past Saturday night. 80 from New Jersey. Just want to give a quick thanks for being diligent with the podcast and for making my commutes tolerable.
A D.
A D?
Yeah.
Addy? A-D-I.
Addy? I don't know.
Who cares? He's got a game for us, he or she. True or false, okay? I'm going to read this to you, Way, and you give me a true or false.
Okay.
Okay? MMA fans are worse than pro wrestling fans.
Neither. It's neither true or false. I think we should judge each other based on our own individual personalities.
All right, screwing up the game right away.
Generalize people that way.
Daniel Bryan will win the Royal Rumble.
It's sure, true.
Vitor Belfort is the fighter of the year.
Yeah, sure, maybe. I don't know.
True.
Okay, true.
Hulk Hogan will be at WrestleMania and wrestle.
False.
Chris Weidman will finish Anderson Silva this weekend.
True.
TNA will get bought in 2014.
False.
WWE streaming will be more successful than the UFC streaming services.
I mean, what type of level of... Yeah, sure, true, why not?
And finally, there will be no UFC card in 2014 that match or exceeds GSP Hendricks with 700,000 pay-per-view buys.
Let me think about that. I mean...
Will there be a fight that does above 700?
There's really nothing on the go. I mean, not even... I don't think Jones and Gustafson, if you do a rematch, will hit that.
No way.
Yeah, I don't know. Hard to say. Maybe not. Probably not.
I'll say false. I think 700 is an attainable number if you get that right fight.
With who? Who do you see being one of the participants?
Jeez, I would have to say it'd have to be John Jones. He could very well fight at heavyweight this year. That's conceivable. I think that could happen. Tam from Cumbria, England. These may have already been answered. Which wrestling pay-per-view from 2013 would you advise people to go back and watch? You can choose a New Japan event if you would like. I would say either day 4 or day 8 of the G1. Those stood out to me in terms of maybe shows that you missed at the time and should go back and see. WWE had a great show in June with Payback, with Punk and Jericho on it. That was a really good show. What pay-per-view did you watch this year, Way, that you really... You know what? Let's not answer that because
that many.
That kind of gets ahead of ourselves for best of the... Listen to the best of show this year. What were some of your favorite and least favorite moments from your podcast this year? Also, what was your favorite and least favorite thing to review this year? This is like 10 million questions.
I'm so bad at these lists that encompass everything over the past 365 days. There's no way I remember.
Okay, well, how about this?
I don't even remember 2 weeks ago. I don't even remember Monday.
What comics are you reading right now?
What comics I'm reading? I've actually dropped a lot of my comics that I'm reading regularly. I'm not even reading Superior Spider-Man anymore.
I haven't. I'm planning this holiday to catch up on Superior Spider-Man. Oh, okay. That's one of the things I want to do because I'm probably 10 issues behind.
Well, I'm still reading though only one comic, and that is Saga. That's the comic.
You love that series.
It's so good. It's like really the only comic that I feel. What really turned me off, I'll be honest, is just like a lot of the Marvel books are just like. Endless, you know, like they're just you keep waiting for a resolution, but then like it's like wrestling, you know, like you go from one event over to another event, and I think I kind of had enough for the time being. I'm still gonna go back and pick it up in trades, but as far as you know, the only book that I'm reading month to month, that would be Saga by Image.
Way's been sipping on this eggnog. And we're about to have our next entrant, and you're looking a little...
It tastes funky. Like, it's like, what is this? From Iran? Eggnog from Iran?
Well, I think you're going to need to run to the washroom right now, and we're going to welcome in our next guest while you get your faculties. So let's introduce entrant number three into the Review Away Christmas Rumble.
I feel dizzy.
We're back on the show, everyone. It's Christmas morning here on Review Away, and look who we have found on Christmas morning. Good friend of the show, Jimmy Corderas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I hope I'm not offending people out there, and if I am, too bad.
No, Christmas morning with Jimmy Corderas. I don't think anyone can complain at all. We're kind of going through the year of 2013, Jimmy, and it was a very interesting year for the WWE, and it kind of sets up a lot of big projects for 2014 with the network and everything that goes along with that. But as you kind of reflect on the year 2013, are there any kind of standouts, some big moments from 2013? Or even little moments that maybe get overlooked when we do these kind of year-end deals.
Yeah, I think for me it's all the little things that matter to me more than the big moments everybody remembers. You know, the ascension of Daniel Bryan being the most probably over guy in the company right now. The return of Dustin Rhodes is Gold Dust has been fantastic ever since he came back. You know, the unified championship which, of course...
Oh, yeah, we just had the biggest match in WWE history a few weeks ago.
Apparently so, yeah. But for me, it's the little things like the ascension of guys like Bray Wyatt, who are coming to the forefront, the young guys in the Shield, that sort of thing. Like you said, I think the future of the WWE looks bright. It all depends on how they are handled going forward, of course, and that's always the question mark. But in my opinion, the future looks really bright, and I think 2013 really showed that the WWE, especially in developmental, they're doing some things right, and there's a lot of potential there.
I think that's a great point, because we look now that when a talent is called up, it seems that a lot of work is put into, you know, where are they going to fit? What are our long-term goals with them? And you're seeing more examples. I mean, the Shield is, to me, the shining example of, you know, you keep a group strong. I mean, they came in with, to the casual wrestling fan, no name value behind them at all. And now, these are bona fide stars. And with Roman Reigns, you could have a massive star. Is he the breakout performer of that group, just considering the look and all the things that guy has going for him? He's clearly the one that is going to at least get the first chance to be a top star in 2014.
Yeah, I think so. And you said, like, for especially in the WWE, where people's perceptions are certain guys have to have a certain look to get over in the WWE, which isn't true, because we talked about Daniel Bryan already.
Sure.
But yeah, he was the question mark going in. We all know about Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, and then we know their background. We knew where they came from and how they, you know, how they progressed in the indie scene. Roman Reigns was the big question mark, and he, you know, in my opinion, exceeded expectations, and I guess that's what they see in him. They see potential, and I see it too.
Big E Langston, he looks to be another one that they're kind of, you know, not to the extent that we're seeing with Roman Reigns, but he seems to be another one that, I mean, they've kept strong. They're trying to kind of get some prestige back to the Intercontinental title, and it seems like someone else in 2014 that we're going to see if he can kind of sink or swim at a bit of a higher level.
Yeah, again, more potential there, but the only thing I'm really not digging about Big E is I don't like seeing him on commentary being this, you know, kindler, gentler, kind of joking around Big E Langston. I want Big E Langston to be like a mean Mark Henry type.
Sure.
You know, like they've kind of paired him and Mark Henry a little bit together, almost teasing that mentor, you know, protege relationship.
Yes.
Why not be more like Mark Henry, like a real badass?
Matching haircuts. Maybe he's got to go bald and get like the beard with Mark Henry.
Well, I'm glad he did a little more with his tights and got away from that Borat look, though.
Yes, a positive change there. You bring up Mark Henry, and that was certainly to me one of the highlights of the year, was him and John Cena and that setup for Money in the Bank. And I don't think that angle necessarily gets a lot of praise. It's like we see so many storylines every single year that some of them we forget, but I think you know, at the end of the year, you look back. I mean, what a tremendous performance! I think maybe the best work Mark Henry ever did was that particular segment. If there's one highlight to his career,
absolutely, and he got jobbed. I don't care what anybody says. Double cross of the year, Mark Henry. He brought out the salmon blazer again. He, fully expecting to win, I was shocked that he didn't too. But then again, you know, and I'm going to say this right now, and I know people are going to say, "Yeah, BS, Jimmy." The voting for the Slammies was legit.
Absolutely.
It was absolutely legit, and I know people have to say it's professional wrestling. Everything's a work.
Let's have Daniel Bryan overshadow our complete main event for TLC on this night. That's their thinking, clearly.
Yeah, exactly, because it's a work, that's why.
Final thing. I always, you know, look at you as someone very much attached to the streak of The Undertaker. You were in the middle of the ring in 2008 with Edge and The Undertaker. You look ahead to 2014. Who do you want to see at WrestleMania with The Undertaker?
A few options. Of course, you know, conventional wisdom is Brock Lesnar would be a good choice. But if Brock Lesnar is going to stick around for the WWE past WrestleMania 30 and possibly into the following year, WrestleMania 31, I don't think he's the guy that should face The Undertaker this year. You know, I'll be honest with you. The only viable guy right now that people would believe would have a chance of beating that streak would be John Cena.
Yeah.
I think he's the only logical choice right now to put believability into the fact that maybe this streak comes to an end and, you know, Undertaker passes the torch, so to speak. But other than that, I can't see anybody else.
Would you like to see if his body can hold up and everything, if Cowboy Stadium is the location for 2016, would that be the ideal send-off for The Undertaker in Cowboy Stadium with a massive crowd in Dallas, Texas?
Yeah. You know, The Undertaker, I say this all the time. He's been injured a lot over the years, but he's a warrior. And, but, you know, he'll do whatever he can to possibly be there. That would be the perfect send off, I think. Yeah, Cowboy Stadium sounds great for him.
I mean, just the idea of that visual with all those people. Absolutely. In Dallas. He is not only the co-host of Aftermath, which you can see on Sportsnet 360. You can follow him on Twitter at Jimmy Corderas. And a happy holiday season, Jimmy, to many more previews and recaps on Fight Network as we delve through the WWE pay-per-views, because TNA isn't giving us a whole lot to talk about.
No, it's TNA. Hopefully.
How many pay-per-views did they run in 2013? What's your prediction? They had cut it down to four, but one of those four was supposed to be Genesis, which is now on free television in January.
So we're talking three, so it's every 4 months or something like that. I don't know, but they've got a lot of those pre-taped, you know.
The free shows, yes.
Yeah. I just hope they stick around. I mean, like, I don't wish any company to go or anything like that. I would just prefer that their product gets a little better and stop trying to emulate what they see the other guys do and try to create their own little, you know, niche, their own, maybe not a niche, because the niche market doesn't draw big numbers, but try to do something different and creative that people could gravitate to, and stop trying to overthink everything and try to, you know, make it too complicated. Keep it simple, stupid.
There's subtle changes they're making. I'm optimistic that TNA is going to at least see a different product in 2014, and maybe it's a stripped down version where it's not paying tons and tons of money on talent, and you kind of just, maybe you do have to kind of lower things a little, and the expectations that, you know what, we're not WWE, and that's the reality of things. Exactly. Jimmy, all the best. Happy holidays.
You too, and to everybody out there, happy holidays.
Well, Way is back. And Jimmy Corderas says hello.
Great
to have him on the show. Are you feeling okay?
Feeling kind of...
Eggnog's doing a number on you.
Feeling pretty...
And yet you're still going to continue drinking it for the next while.
I'm feeling pretty great, actually.
Okay, so does that mean some of these interviews you might not be around for?
No, I'll try to be. I'll be around for all of them.
Okay.
Don't judge me.
Okay. Well, we're going to get back to some of the feedback as we're continuing to go through these. Counterparts. Okay, since I'm not talented enough to do a musical number for this, I will go with numbers 2 and 3 on the list. How about this for a topic, since it's on Christmas Day? Why not review your best and worst Christmas presents when you unwrap them? For best wrestler, I go with a tie with both Brian and Punk to get the present of a bigger push in 2014, and for worst, I give it to Dixie Carter, a promo coach. Merry Christmas. That's from Rich in Winnipeg.
Okay.
So, best and worst Christmas presents you've ever gotten... I'll start it off. Okay, do you have one?
No, you go ahead.
My best one, I will easily say, was 1997, when I was fully into the world of Magic cards, and I told my parents I wanted a box set of Ice Age cards, which comes with like 36 packs or something. And I opened it up that morning, this box that my parents had said, here you go. And it was an empty card-carrying box.
Oh.
And I was like, I was almost in tears, okay? 13 years old, I was about to cry because my parents had bought the wrong thing.
Oh, no.
That was my worst gift. Then they pulled out the actual Ice Age present where I opened it, and it was...
A swerve.
They swerved me huge. But they delivered at the end.
I know. Yeah.
Guess what? I never saw that coming, and I was furious. But then I got my Ice Age pack, and I looked at these 36 packs, and I told my brother, pick a pack that I will open up last. And he put one aside. I opened them all, and the last pack contained a Jester's Cap, and I was so happy. That was the card I wanted.
You talk about that all the time, this Jester's Cap.
Fuck,
like, it was like a real life-changing moment.
Those were my best and worst Christmas presents. When I think of Christmas, I think of that Ice Age set.
Jester's
Cap. Oh, I was so happy.
Do you still have it?
Oh, definitely. I have three Jester's Caps.
Three of them now. You're spoiled.
Yeah. Well, apparently they're worth a shitload. They were worth like $30 at that time. Today, I heard they've appreciated considerably.
Wow. My best present was... I think I was like maybe like 6 or something, and then I was at home, and then my parents were out of the house, and then I went. My brother was like, "Hey, there's somebody at the door for you." I'm like, "I'm 6 o'clock." I'm like, "Who the fuck is at the door for me?" And so I go downstairs, and my mom's like, "Oh, hey, there's a," or my dad's like, "I forget one of the two." They're like, hey, there's a white guy outside.
What? Is it a salesman?
No. They're just like, there's a white guy outside, and he's got a ninja, like, the, and this guy, whoever was there, he was hiding behind the door, but holding out a giant stuffed Ninja Turtle doll. And then they're like, yeah, there's this guy, this white guy outside. He's white. Like, he made sure to emphasize that he was white.
He's white. Be careful. He wants something from you.
Well, then, like, you know, I was that young, but, like, I wasn't stupid. I knew it was my dad's hand or my mom's hand.
And they just kept saying it's a white guy.
Yeah. Ah, he's white. He's a white guy. Yeah. And, yeah, they got,
he's got
they
a
got
problem me. With a math problem for you.
So, I mean, not even so much the gift. It was a great gift. I mean, I was obsessed with the Ninja Turtles, but, I mean, just the presentation was great.
And you were how old?
Like six, I think.
Six.
I
wow, just come, you still remember
five,
that?
Five or six, I don't know, when I just come into the country. And I don't remember my worst gift. It might have been
Are
like,
they hanging in your office?
What? Oh, no, I love that shirt that you gave me.
Shirts.
I love, yeah, I love all the shirts that you gave me. It's just like the, one of them's too small. The other one's like...
Got your name on it.
I'm not going to wear a fucking shirt. John last year got me an awesome gift. He got me a custom-made... Kai and Tai evil shirt, but instead of evil, it says Wei Ting, but in the same design. I love the shirt. I'm just not. I'm not gonna walk around wearing a shirt with my own name on it. Like you
know. In hindsight, I wish I went with something else other than your name because it is kind of preposterous for a guy to wear his own shirt.
But it looks awesome up in my room, like just hung on the wall like that. So thank you. I appreciate that gift. But I don't remember my worst gift. Maybe a knapsack. Like who'd want that for Christmas?
Eden Hazard from Belgium, which is a fake name.
Eden Hazard?
Chelsea football player.
Oh, okay.
Hey, guys, I want your opinion on the most important topic in wrestling in 2014. Does Vince McMahon finally realize JTG is still under contract? No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Will JTG still be in the company a year from
what
now?
What is he doing right
He's
now?
He's the new Funaki. Well, he just escapes every release period.
Yeah, certainly not going to be.
A ROM here. Saying, haha, I'll laugh if John and Wei know who Eden Hazard is. That made me Google him ahead of time. So joke's on you, Aram. Hilarious.
What the? What is that? Oh, that terrible noise. I gotta get out of here.
You're going to miss our next guest.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't deal with loud noises right now. I just want to lay down.
It's so hard for me to sit back here in this studio looking at a guy out here hollering my name when last year I spent more money on still liquor.
All right, we're back. It's the Review Away Christmas Morning Edition. And Court, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, guys. What's up?
It's Christmas morning. Court Bauer joining us here on the show. We'll give the facade that this is live. We're chilling out here, just opening our Christmas presents, Court, and discussing the year that was 2013. And, you know, what comes to mind, Court, as we reflect here on the year? Some big moments of 2013 going into 2014 when it comes to our business we love so dearly.
You look at the year and you really feel like it's the year where the fans really took front and center stage and kind of, you know, pretty much anointed Daniel Bryan, their guy, and basically protested and gave a vote of no confidence on the product at one point with the Fandango thing after WrestleMania. And you just see how they've been the whole year. And it's just like, they really are fed up. They want something that they want their guy. And, I love that. I love fans that just don't sit on and just take the product mindlessly, that they really want to get a grip on it and let WWE know that they're dissatisfied. So that was one thing that really sticks out for me. And, you know, we'll see where this goes in 2014. And, you know, is it the situation where Daniel Bryan, they know what's going on and they're suppressing it and they're going to hold it back and make you want it more until it's time. And that time being WrestleMania or the road to WrestleMania when you want ideally that thing to happen where everything's climaxing, or they really just not feel Daniel Bryan's the guy, and you see, you know, a year of Orton and Cena matches.
Wei Ting had some terrible eggnog, so he's been running back and forth to the washroom. Mm. So when Wei is he's okay, he will be piping in.
Back.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
I don't know how long I'll be here, though. I mean, I don't know who made that eggnog, but well, it's great going down, but not great.
It was sent to us via, you know, from Conan in San Diego.
Caribbean,
there might have been
the Caribbean eggnog. Oh no,
dear, not the first thing you want to have Christmas morning. No. But what are some predictions, Court, for 2014? Whether it be, you know, some breakout performers. Obviously, WWE is poised for, I mean, a ton of big things with the network, right, with the TV deals. What is in Court Bauer's crystal ball when it comes to any of the major organizations?
I think in the best case scenario, and I'm maybe an optimist here, maybe delusional, WWE gets nice little increase in their money, stays with USA, and shaves back to 2 hours. Maybe the product goes live on Tuesday night. Maybe it's on NBC Sports Network, because that's something they really want to kind of in 2014. I know NBC really wants to get that kind of to the next level, and start competing with the ESPNs of the world. And obviously FS1 is now really in the hunt. You have CBS Network, Sports Network. So, maybe it ends up there. I don't know, but I could see some tinkering going on with SmackDown. And in terms of talent, NXT is full of talent, and I'd love to see some of those guys start popping up. And I think that will continue to occur as the year goes on.
And what's Court Bauer up to this holiday season?
I am in Florida enjoying the beautiful sunshine and ocean and just kicking it, man. I'm loving it down here in Miami.
All right. Well, we don't want to keep you too long. It is Christmas morning after all, so we will let you get back to your family. Don't open the eggnog yet. Maybe that's that's more of an evening thing for Christmas. Poor Way. Giving his washroom a present here on Christmas morning.
Oh,
so, Court, have a great New Year's, and we are going to chat with you next year.
Yes, see you next year, guys. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Feel better, Way.
We're back, and, you know, Court said that...
Oh, I missed Court?
Shit. Missed Court. He was going to give you the tips on how to properly drink the eggnog and not get messed.
Actually, wasn't I around partially? For some of that.
Well, he was trying to tell you, and you kept having the vomit.
Yeah, I kept having to leave. Well, I should get him to thank Conan for me, for that eggnog, this right. Lovely eggnog.
Are you going
to
be okay?
I'll be fine. Yeah, I'll be okay.
All right, are you going to last?
No, I think so.
Okay, we're just powering through here. Sean from New Jersey. Here are a few topics. All right, favorite Christmas gift we went through. Most awkward wrestling segment that a family member has walked in on you watching. I feel like some of these are like best of conversations that we've had.
I know, we've already talked about that. I'm sorry, I don't remember it right
Thoughts
now.
Of the announcement of Sony creating a Sinister Six and Venom spinoff movie within the Spider-Man universe? Way.
I think that could be cool. I mean, it seems like the thing now that all these movie companies are doing after seeing the success of Marvel and the Avengers is they want to expand their worlds. They want to expand their franchises. I mean, DC's doing it. The X-Men franchises are doing it. And now with Spider-Man... I mean, the problem with Spider-Man is just, like, such a central thing, you know? It's just all based on one guy. I guess this would be the next best thing. I mean, you could do a Venom thing, maybe, but... I mean, if it's done well, that's the bottom line. If it's done well, then it'll be good, right? So then I'm interested. I'll be watching it anyway if they do that. But, you know, who would you have? Dr. Octopus, Electro, Mysterio, all those guys. So, it's interesting. It's not the best idea in the world, but...
I have no input to this particular question, so we'll go with whatever Way said as gospel. Bobby Bittman here wants to know, this is an interesting one, if that horrible Raw from Tacoma, Washington never occurred in 2001, what do you two think would have happened through the end of 2002 if the Tacoma Raw hadn't have happened and WCW had been warmly embraced on that night? Additionally, what interpromotional dream matches do you think would have occurred during this period?
Let's just imagine that. Let's say instead of what...
WCW was a rousing success. The show went off the air with them chanting, Booker, Bagwell.
Yeah, yeah, just like...
More.
Like if Booker T and Buff Bagwell
tore down the house.
Yeah, they had a 5-star match that we're still talking about to this day. What would the result be?
Vince McMahon has an erection watching this match. He says this is the way wrestling will be for the millennium.
The initial plan was for them to even split the shows, give one of the shows, perhaps Raw,
Monday night would be Nitro.
WCW. I think that would have fizzled. I don't think, who would they have had on that roster? You know, like they at that point at least they would have only had half the guys and. I just don't see it ever happening because WCW as a brand is just
not nearly as strong, even at that point, as the WWE.
I don't even think it was necessarily like, you look at that invasion, it's like every step felt like a misstep. That, okay, if they had avoided one obstacle, they would have found five more. You know what I mean? I can't imagine that it would have changed anything other than maybe they would have got a few more months out of it the way they did. They were never going to go with WCW as a top brand and equal to WWF.
You know, and you know what? They eventually did what they wanted anyway with the brand extension, with two brands that are arguably stronger than WCW and Raw and SmackDown. I mean, I think there's a reason why people weren't watching WCW at the time is because they just didn't like it. They didn't like that group of wrestlers. They didn't want any of that stuff.
As for interpromotional match, I've said this before, I feel that if you could have worked it out, that WrestleMania 19 with Austin's last match taking place on that show, Goldberg debuting the night after, I think that would have been your match to go to. I think the pay-per-view would have been huge. Even if WCW had failed, that match meant a lot to people, and that would have been what it would have been my WrestleMania match that year, rather than the third match with The Rock. Also knowing that that was going to be Austin's last match, I think he would have been fine losing to Goldberg as he was the new guy coming in, would have started Goldberg
off huge.
You think
so? You really think so? Because we know Austin has had issues in the past.
I think he would. If he knew it was his last match, I think he would have absolutely wanted to lose, just as he did to The Rock. I don't think
The Rock's not Goldberg, though. I mean, I don't know. I feel like
you
got
to remember at that
level...
time it was like Goldberg was coming in to pop business when it was really down, and what better way to start than coming in and... I mean, it wouldn't have been a two-minute match, and that might have presented difficulties, but I think to do that match, it would have been huge. Mm-hmm. And WrestleMania 19 would have done way bigger business that year if it had been Austin Goldberg, but didn't work out, and that match did not occur. Page two-way. Martin from London, Merry Christmas to you and the entire Law family. I'd like to know what your all-time favorite wrestling crossovers have been, i.e. wrestlers appearing on TV shows, releasing music, blah, 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 and he's got he just says, et cetera. Five predictions for 2014. Number one, getting left out in the cold by issues between Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose. Seth Rollins will form a tag team with someone from NXT and possibly win the tag titles. Number two, Paige and Sami Zayn will be called up, and both will win singles titles in 2014. Number three, Daniel Bryan will have a big pay-per-view match with Brock Lesnar, perhaps at SummerSlam. Number four, TNA will make an effort to bulk up the Knockouts division, making a few hires from the Shimmer mid-card. And number five, ROH will attempt to build new stars, promoting ACH up the card, hiring 2013 indie standouts such as Drew Gulak and Biff Busick to help recover interest in the product. Wrestling crossovers.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Randy Savage rap album is the first thing that comes to mind. Anything wrestling and rap,
yeah,
I'm in.
That's a pretty good one. I'm just trying to think of what was actually done well. Like, what was actually good.
Oh, that's a smaller list.
I suppose, like, The Rock. Does The Rock count?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
But that's just not as fun.
What did you think of John Cena's rap album? As someone that's actually a rap fan.
Did we listen to it? Did we do a review on it?
No, we didn't.
Didn't we do a review?
I don't think so. I've forgotten reviews.
I think we have. I thought it was I think for somebody who's obviously not a rapper, he does a good enough job for a guy with a rap gimmick, you know. Like, I don't think he wrote all of his stuff.
Probably not.
This guy, like the Trademark, isn't that one of the other guys?
The Trademark, THA.
The Trademark, MARC, and I thought the Trademark's stuff was fine. Yeah, I don't know. I'm no expert either.
We'll get set for our next guest to make their way down the aisle, but first, one more here. Chris in China just gives us some predictions here. This year's WrestleMania multi-man clusterfuck will be a tag championship multi-match of some kind. Chris Jericho won't return until after WrestleMania. The Real Americans will split with Cesaro going babyface. Hogan will be involved in that program somehow. Cody Rhodes and Goldust will occur. Sin Cara, Rey Mysterio takes place at WrestleMania. US and IC titles are unified. Cena will play a Chris Jericho role at Mania, putting someone new over. This new guy will ultimately remain stalled in the mid-card. The Undertaker goes 22-0 against Lesnar. Tamina Snuka beats AJ for the Divas title. Bryan defeats Orton for the WWE title at WrestleMania. Paige will debut in WWE before the end of the year. And in my boldest prediction, Cassius Ohno will be back in the fold before the end of 2014.
Wow.
We should go back and recount these next year.
Okay.
If you're still talking to me by Christmas of next year.
I think we'll forget about this.
All right. The countdown clock is on. Who's next?
Why don't you be the writer and decide the words listening to you and Court Bauer on my iPhone.
Oh, man.
In okay, one in one ear and then talking to us on the other?
Awesome. It's dual listening. We're just going to come in and
we're on air right now.
All right. We are on the air right now and behind.
This is live radio on podcast.
Absolutely.
That's very exciting stuff.
It's Christmas morning. And if you can identify the voice, how can you not? Alex Greenfield is with us. One of our great friends from the Law family. And Alex, I know you, a big, big fan of One Wei Ting, who we had to bring together here on Christmas morning.
No, I'm very excited. I feel wounded in the last few times. Wei heard I was coming on and just decided arbitrarily to leave. It's very saddening.
That's not true. When was that?
Many times I've had Alex on, and there's no Wei to be found.
I've never been invited, ever.
Well,
John's been spreading these lies.
I've talked about it with Alex many, many times, and I'm determined that in the next month or so that we will get everyone together because Alex really wants to chat the No Mercy pay-per-view event from 2005, and we're going to do it.
Let's... I love it. I think that should be a great that will be a great idea, and it was a fun time, and I'll have to rewatch it because all I remember is the stuff with Eddie and Batista and can't remember another thing about the show.
You know, we've been chatting with a number of people already here on the Christmas show, Alex, and we're kind of throwing out the idea, you know, 2013. I mean, what are some of the moments or stories that jump at you when we kind of look back at this past year within wrestling? Good, bad, or just things that made you kind of scratch your head?
Oh, there were lots. I think the big story to me that I know we've talked some about, but I don't think it's gotten the attention it deserves, is crowds going into business for themselves.
Yes.
At major WWE events. I just think I find that bracing and really exciting, and it started in Brooklyn, the night after WrestleMania.
New Jersey.
And sometimes it feels sort of forced, like a crowd's trying to sort of compete with those big ones, and sometimes it feels completely organic and fun, and sometimes you still have dead crowds, but I think there's a sort of vitality to the live audiences that is really making the shows a lot better and a lot more entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
On the negative side, I never thought that I would see, and I can't remember the guy's name, but that lead writer who left right after SummerSlam.
David Kreisman, I think.
Yeah. I never thought I'd see a writer have that much direct and appreciable and noticeable impact by leaving, but there's really nothing else you can chalk it up to. The first half of this year, and particularly the sort of period between WrestleMania and SummerSlam, I thought was some really fun, engaging storytelling at WWE. Then this guy left, and it just crashed for me. I've disliked so much of the authority and the sort of wishy-washy storytelling, and is it Daniel Bryan, or is it going to be Cena? And all of the storytelling running up to now, even until just recently, you know, having such a great introduction of the Wyatts, which, I mean, you remember, I was incredibly excited for.
Right.
Turning into this very rudderless, directionless thing until just recently. It surprised me that I can't think of any other reason than one guy leaving completely changed the emphasis of the show in such a radical and, I think, negative direction.
And you look ahead to WrestleMania, Alex, and it's, you know, you probably get Taker, Lesnar, but you just look at the different parts. It's like, I don't know if it's a byproduct of just where the writing is right now or just that you've seen so many of these combinations right now. You don't really get that sense that whatever the plan is, that it's really going to be anything that's going to energize you. I mean, we go back to that build up to WrestleMania this year where I just think a lot of the potential wasn't met with some of the combinations you had. It's like, personally, I really want to see what they do with Roman Reigns just as somebody that's fresh, but you don't want to kind of overstep where this guy is right now in his career. I mean, he's been hidden very well and certainly has that potential. How far do they go with it? I mean, subtlety has never been one of the WWE's biggest strengths.
With Reigns, I kind of hope, and look, I recognize, like most people do, he's not even the strongest worker in, not by a long shot is he even the strongest worker in the Shield. He does have undeniable charisma, and I think you put you hit the nail on the head when you say he's incredibly fresh. My hunch is that, you end up with him and, with some combination of he and Ambrose as sort of the two breakout guys.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania, but that seems really long for where the angle is right now. Like it hasn't been the turn, which is played very well, doesn't seem like it can make it as far as Mania. You know, you imagine the scenarios in which you shoot the guy to the moon, he's in a major angle at Mania. I don't feel like he's ready yet, and more importantly, I don't feel like the audience is yet ready to believe that he could be in the main event for the unified world heavyweight completed championship.
Whatever the latest name is for
it. Yeah.
I just look at it right now that I see, you know, Dave Meltzer had this cryptic line in last week's Observer about, you know, obviously Roman Reigns, they have big plans for, you wouldn't even believe how big those plans are. Something to that effect. I mean, is there even a chance that this guy wins the Rumble in January?
When he says that, the scenario that constantly refers to me, and it's something people have talked about for a long time, the sort of picking the next guy thing. When he says, if you wouldn't even believe how big, that makes me think Undertaker.
Yeah, that's the other thing, because they've been cognizant of really
made at WrestleMania forever.
Mm-hmm. What is your prediction at this point for WrestleMania?
Oh gosh, you know, it's so up in the air. I think we're probably going to end up with DX versus Bryan and Punk. Hmm. Really no idea where the Wyatts, who are sort of my personal favorite actor, going. I think it'll be some sort of undercard thing at that point. I think you're probably going to see, in the main event, Cena Orton just feels so stale, but I can't figure out where else they would be going. Probably Punk and Taker. Did I say Punk and Taker? No, that last year. Probably Lesnar and Taker.
Right. Yeah.
Because it is, I mean, look, yes, it's super predictable, but I think there's now such an audience expectation and desire to see it. It makes perfect sense to me. I think it's an interesting question whether or not you're going to get The Rock. I'm very curious about the Batista rumors because, I mean, this is a guy who's just getting over and is going to be right around WrestleMania time. When does Guardians of the Galaxy come out? It's next summer at some point, right? Mm-hmm.
I think it's still at least a year out.
Little convergence marketing, which The Rock always seems to be doing, but I think Dave could be a really interesting part.
How did you always get along with Dave working with him? You know, when he was running on SmackDown.
One of my favorite guys to work with. We had some tension early on that I had with, you know, a bunch of people. You know, here's this fucking guy from Hollywood walking in and telling us what to do. You know, like there was plenty of tension, but by the end, I really, like, Dave and I thought, had a really good groove. He was one of the guys, you know, we've talked about it a few times. There were guys who liked to be scripted, and there were guys who liked bullet points. You know, Batista has not the greatest reputation for his promo. We got to really having a great shorthand of just, you know, having a few bullet points, figuring out the amount of time, and just running, extemporizing back and forth. He was really fun to work with. And this is the thing about Dave and why I think he's having so much success. Like, he's a guy who learned, who looked at how shots were composed and gave feedback on them. And not everybody does that backstage, but he was very studious about both performance and the technical aspects of production, and I always respected that a lot.
And clearly something, probably a skill that he's taken up to even, you know, his work in Hollywood. I mean, how else do you really explain somebody going that far in such a short time?
I agree. I think that, you know, he's also someone that, I mean, when he left the company, I mean, that guy was doing, it just felt like right at the end, everything kind of clicked for him. It was like that light bulb went off and it was really apparent. And maybe it was knowing that, you know, I've got my end in sight. And it was just that heel character he had right towards the end in 2010. I thought that was his best work he had done when he left.
Absolutely. That heel persona worked really well, both the look with the stubble and everything. His neat sort of variance on how chicken shit heels usually operate in the program with Cena. Like, I thought he was really clicking on all cylinders. And look, you know, that carried over. His part in Riddick was not insignificant, and he was really good in it. By all accounts, you know, everybody, and I mean, you're not going to get any bad news from a studio, obviously, mm-hmm. but by all accounts, he's done great on Guardians. It's, you know, he's got a real career. And the idea of coming back and being able to float back and forth with the worlds, you know, Rock very much has shown that that can be done, and it can be really beneficial for the company in terms of buy rates. So, yeah, more power to him. But, yeah, I loved working with Dave, and I think he owns every bit of his success.
Before we let you go, just two quick things. In a nutshell, what you take away from TNA here is they're in this very weird spot right now where they've kind of a completely different company than they were even 1 year ago heading into the next year. And also a prediction on the Royal Rumble winner, which we've been asking people today.
Oh, gosh. On TNA, I've just started tuning back in, and you know, I'll listen to you and Court talk about and, you know, read in the Observer occasionally, like, what all the backstage stuff is, and oh my God, they're gonna get sold and all of that. I feel like, you know, I tried to tune in a little bit towards the end of the summer, sort of in the early weeks of the Aces and Eights thing, and I really didn't like it. And, tuning in just recently, like, I'm finding it more compelling, I'm finding the storytelling, a lot more coherent, so, I can't really talk on the business side, but creatively, I'm hopeful that TNA continues its sort of arc of improvement that it's on.
Yeah.
And on the Royal Rumble, who is going to win the Rumble? I'm going to go so on not out on a limb in any way. John Cena will win the Royal Rumble.
All right. Well, he is the leader now in our unofficial review away Christmas poll. Alex, I want to wish you a great Christmas, New Year's. Definitely want to have you on shortly. We're going to do the No Mercy show in the near future, maybe in the next month or so. And I know you're a very busy man working on. Tell us quickly about The Sand that you're currently in production on.
Oh, I got to tell you, man, I'm more excited about it, John, than I have been on any of the movies I've had produced. And, like, you know, I've had some pretty big TV movies done, but, you know, this director, a guy named Isaac Gabaff, I've seen his first film. This is his second. And it's not out yet, but it's really, really good. Strangely, a very funny comedy. The cast is just fantastic. It's some people, you know, a woman named Brooke Butler is in the lead, and I'd never heard of her before. And there's a kid from Hannah Montana and another guy from the Disney shows. But it's a college-age horror movie about some kids who wake up on a beach after a big party and find all of their friends who slept on the beach gone. And there's a group of them in a car and a couple in the lifeguard station and one who's been unfortunately stuffed into a trash can. And sort of like the game you played when you were a little kid where you have to cross a room without touching the floor. Don't touch the floor. If you touch the sand, you get eaten by whatever the monster is inside it, and they have to work out ways to get across the beach. But it just wrapped production today.
Oh, wow.
And I'm super psyched. It should, we've already got distribution. It's looking to come out late next summer.
Look at that. The man working on Christmas morning, Alex Greenfield, the hardest working man in the industry. Follow him on Twitter.
I'm the writer on the movie. I get to sit at home and get pictures.
You can follow him at Alex D. Greenfield, and a man that whose voice all of our listeners are very familiar with. Merry Christmas, Alex. Have a great New Year's, and we'll be chatting with you soon. Thanks, as always, whenever you pop on with us. Always great chatting with you.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great holiday.
Oh, wait, you were great. Alex Greenfield, I know, yeah. Always a big fan of The Waiting Man.
Oh, well.
He has told me that the podcast he wants to hear in 2014 is you and Conan together.
Oh, wow.
That's his dream podcast.
I mean, just, you know, send that eggnog my way, and I'm there.
They had me on the MLW holiday show. I was we should have had you on.
No.
Representing.
No, I'm not good in groups.
What are you talking about? No, you're a great conversationalist.
I'm very shy. I'm a very shy person.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am.
You are always forward with your thoughts and your points that you like to make to people.
Yeah, it's unnecessary.
You like one of us. You like to engage people.
Engage people.
Like when someone's just talking ridiculous stuff, you fan the flames.
I'm not. It's not called engaging. It's just the conversation.
You're the kind of person that when there's a conversation that I would just be ready to check out of, you just want to prolong it.
Well, often the things that you, I don't know. I don't know what my point is.
Let's go back to the thread here. How's the show going so far, Wei?
Great.
Are you enjoying this?
I've been having an awesome time. I've got my Santa's hat on. I've got my long johns.
Yeah.
I've got my bells, my jingly bells on.
How's that Stella feeling right now in the wee hours of Christmas morning?
Fine. Delicious.
Guests have been good?
Guests have been awesome. Tremendous.
All right. Just doing a check-in with Wei.
Why do you have to ask me?
I want
to
know.
What do you think?
I've loved this show.
Yeah?
It's been a lot of fun.
Good.
Okay. This might become an annual tradition.
I think it should.
This is a lot of fun.
It's great.
Well, be honest. What part of this did you like the most? A, the guests. B, the songs. Or C, the fact you didn't have to watch anything before today's show.
I loved all three. All three almost equally as much. But the songs I really do enjoy.
Songs are great. We need to let's find the next song.
Yeah. We got a poem.
Okay, let's actually stay on track here, because I'm going to forget to go back. Ronaldo, one of our loyal listeners from Milan, Italy. Merry Christmas from Italy. I wish you would discuss the moment you genuinely got hooked on wrestling and the memories of what was going on in your lives at that point. But if you prefer something less deep, just talk about your favorite Christmas-related wrestling memory. I just found a job after a year of being unemployed, so no matter what WWE does, I'm not getting frustrated. As a matter of fact, I'm getting drunker than ever just to celebrate, and in the process, probably lose my newfound job. I don't have any money now, but I could buy a gift if I could buy a gift for any wrestler. It would be a replica title belt for Daniel Bryan with a note reading, "Just pretend." What's going to happen in 2014? More of the same, I guess. The WWE Network is going to debut featuring Legends House, Tough Enough reruns, and the best of TNA Impact. Merry Christmas, guys. That was a pretty concise, comical, informative paragraph.
Yeah, that was great.
Those are the kind of feedbacks I like. Get something from it, and it's not too long. What got you hooked on wrestling, Wei? First memory was the barbershop window. Marty Jannetty getting sent through the glass, and I thought it was awesome.
For me, it was the confusion of the Ultimate Warrior forming with Macho Man Randy Savage as the Ultimate Maniacs for 1 week, and then the next week Ultimate Warrior disappeared, was replaced by Mr. Perfect, and I knew something was up, but I thought, this is weird. What other TV show would promote one thing for an entire month and then all of a sudden the week before completely change it? I found that so odd, even as a child, that I wanted to know. I wanted to know what happened.
Which good or bad movies have you watched this year? The best for me was The Conjuring. The worst was Die Hard 5. That's from Aram Nasrallah.
Best movie you watched this year?
Yeah. You really liked Thor 2, right?
Thor was fun, yeah.
But not the best this year.
I don't know about my best movie. I want to talk about my favorite TV show that I just discovered.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God, this show is
called,
so designed for you.
This show is called Nathan For You. It's on Comedy Central, and it's with a Canadian who used to be on This Hour Has 22 Minutes in a very minor role. But this guy basically stages these. The concept of the show is that he's like one of those business shows that helps you, like Bar Rescue, helps you change your business. And so this guy goes around America finding the I don't know, any type of business. I'm talking like between funeral parlor or pizzeria, excuse me, and he thinks of really ridiculous ideas to help you make your business better. So for instance, like, and this is of course like without the knowledge of the people that are owning that own these stores. So for instance, he'll like go to a pizzeria and be like, you promised 30 minute delivery, but what if you promised 8 minute delivery, and if you don't get there by eight minutes, you'll get a free pizza? And the owner's like, that's impossible, we can't do that. But then his idea is like, but what if the pizza that you give them that's for free is an inch big? And then he'll actually do it. He'll actually like go out there and like film with a hidden camera this poor pizza delivery boy doing it, and I just think it's such a funny show. Have you heard of this video called Pig Rescues what is it, Goat?
Nope.
Okay. Anyway, this, never mind. I won't spoil it.
Yeah. What?
No, I won't. I don't want to spoil the show. All it's right.
It's a show.
Yeah, it's such a good show.
Pig Rescues Goat.
No. It's part of the Nathan.
Oh, it's part of that series. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I've only seen the one you showed me the other day about the frozen yogurt.
Yeah, they never mind.
Poo flavored.
They made a poo flavored yogurt.
Yep, and people bought it. All right. James Vanderbeek, which, might I say, not the James Vanderbeek.
J-A-I-M-S.
My wife has begun rewatching Dawson's Creek on Netflix.
Yeah. How does that feel, by the way, to say my wife?
It's weird. I'm not used to saying it. I've only said it like three times, this being the third. This show is horrible. Dawson's Creek has aged the worst of any show.
You used to be a huge fan.
I used to be a big fan of Dawson's Creek. I watched the first season when it was on the air. And then in university, I rediscovered it on TBS. And I watched seasons two through right the end. And that wasn't that long ago. On Netflix, they didn't clear any of the music rights. So it's all new music over top of it, including they couldn't get Paula Cole to sign off. So they've got like some Jan Arden theme at the beginning. And even within the body of the show, there's one particular scene I remember.
She is the Canadian Paula Cole.
Yeah. They had this song by Swirl 360, and that wasn't in the scene. So I'm assuming most of the music they've had to replace because it's all like unrecognizable music. Mm-hmm. So that part is very weird. And the dialogue. I know this was always a criticism for some, but my God, this show is just about unwatchable.
What's so bad about it 20 years later?
I never, never would want to encounter these teenagers in high school.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what always turned me off, because what adults talk like this?
Dawson is like the most unlikable character on television. He surpasses Ted on How I Met Your Mother as the most unlikable lead character of any TV series I've ever watched in my life.
I don't watch either of those shows.
Yeah, so my New Year's resolution is not to watch Dawson's.
Why do you think it was so popular back then? And why do you think you liked it so much back then?
I don't know, man. I was clearly a loser.
Did you look up to those people, perhaps?
No,
because you
I
weren't
did not.
That, maybe you weren't that age yet, and you thought, oh, when I get to that age, I'm going to be just like Dawson.
The dialogue always struck me, but I could take it. Listen, I've always been like I was a big 90210 fan. Loved Melrose Place. I've always loved shows like that. So maybe that's where I got my interest in Dawson's Creek. But I watch it, and it's like, even Pacey, it's like, he was the character I liked on that show. Can't stand him now. Just overhearing him in these reruns.
They come across as people that they read a lot.
I guess so. I'm glad none of my friends are like these people, or else they would not be my friends.
Yeah, I don't think I could make it on that show.
If you just started reciting dialogue from like Steven Spielberg movies,
mm-hmm.
I would not be able to tolerate it.
Is that what they do?
That's what Dawson does. He's like a Steven Spielberg mark.
I mean, I think there are a lot of shows that sound like they're clearly all written, like pre-written. Like the show that's manufactured on paper rather than, you know, I don't know. Organically, like a very popular thing right now is just the improvised, you know, like bullet points, and then people do the scene in bullet points. I like that way better.
KW50. Here are some topics: Christmas and New Year's plans. Do you have either?
Yeah, I do.
Favorite gifts received. We've gone over favorite holiday drink, or favorite holiday treat or drink. My mom makes these mint squares that we actually had at my wedding.
Ooh,
they're my favorite.
Yeah, your mom's mint squares are my favorite.
They were great. New Year's resolutions, we have none, correct?
Yeah.
Make one up. What's something you want to do in the new year?
I want to learn to drive with no hands.
last thing here. What would you like to see next year from the major companies? Anything.
What I want to see.
I want to see an ROH iPay-per-view go off without a hitch. Okay. I want them to get back to iPay-per-view, and I want it to be flawless.
I want to see more WWE reality television.
I would too. Total Divas has been, I love that show.
Yeah, me too.
If it was 52 weeks a year, zero complaint out of me.
It might get boring eventually, but for now it's fresh.
All right, and some presents here. For the wrestlers, give WWE their F back. Vince gets high-quality hearing aids so he can listen to the audience. Stephanie gets her own YouTube show where she talks about how great Triple H is. Daniel Bryan gets a legitimate title run. Okay. Karma, we got blasted. This is page two. We got 4 pages of these.
Yeah.
We've got 85 more guests.
Just get to the good stuff.
We've got songs. I feel all these people. Okay, we're going to keep this. Okay, Carmichael. We're going to quickly go to the end here.
What's happening to this show?
Way's love life, he wants to know. We all know about John is married, but what about Way fucking Ting?
Oh, my God.
Or should we save that for the Valentine's show we're going to do?
Let's save that.
Okay.
Not much to report.
Wait a minute. He has a bit of a game here for us. Who was the better wrestler? And he has two people. He has a list here, okay?
Okay.
So I'll go through them, and you give me an answer. And if I disagree with you...
Why don't I go through them, and then you give me an answer? Because number one, it'll be quicker. Number two, it'll probably be a lot more
informative. All right, you go.
Angle or Guerrero?
Angle.
Daniel Bryan or CM Punk?
Bryan.
Are we going to go through all these?
No, pick two more.
Hogan or Cena?
Cena. I don't know what he means by better wrestler.
Just overall package. Billy or Chuck?
Billy.
Stacy Keibler or Tori Wilson?
Stacy.
Ric Flair or Shawn Michaels?
Shawn Michaels.
David Flair or Zach Gowen?
Zach Gowen.
The Great Khali or a Broomstick?
The Great Khali. That was fun.
Thanks.
I think it's time for another guest.
Yeah, I think so too. Leave the jokes to John Pollock, is I think what we're trying to say.
It's all right, man. It's about a 6 out of 10.
All right, the Christmas show rolls on. Wei Ting has been having some horrendous eggnog and unfortunately has had to run out to the washroom. I believe it is eggnog-induced and not because of the man that joins us now. Nate Milton is with us. Nate, Merry Christmas.
Bah, humbug. No Wei Ting.
Unbelievable, this guy. What is that is my New Year's resolution for 2014 is to get to the bottom of this rift. The two of you, it's, you know what I think it is? I think Way is starting to think of himself like Hulk Hogan in the early 90s, where he would only show up on pay-per-view and not do superstars every week, so that when you and him actually do a show together, it feels like a big event.
I think this is like the best book feud in wrestling right now.
It is. It's creating distance so that when you guys come together, and I'm the bridge between you two. I'm just
You're Macho Man.
I'm the jobber. I'm the setup guy to get set for to make you main eventers look good for the pay per view coming up in a couple of weeks. Well, Nate, Christmas morning. What did you get for Christmas?
Oh, well, I got a lot of great things for Christmas. I got an EC3 t-shirt and a Dixieland t-shirt. I got the Carter combo available on TNA Impact Zone. And I got a lot of good stuff, some gift cards and some CDs because my aunts and uncles are still kind of old and they think people still buy CDs. So, it was a good Christmas.
Do you have any plans for New Year's?
My plan.
You're a big New Year's guy. I
am and I'm not. I mean, the 20-year-old Nate that still lives in my mind and in my soul loves New Year's, but the 36-year-old man that you're talking to right now that has to get up for work the following day is probably going to sleep in.
Okay, wait a minute. Tell us about 20-year-old Nate and what you did on New Year's Eve 1997. Other than telling all your friends about how they blew the finish at Starrcade a few days earlier.
Yeah, like, what are you talking about, Sting? But 20-year-old Nate, this 97, I would have been in Japan, in Okinawa, Japan.
Oh, wow. What were you doing in Japan?
My father is a chaplain in the Navy, a retired chaplain in the Navy. And at the time, he got stationed in Okinawa, Japan. So we were out there. And on New Year's Eve, I believe, and this is not an exaggeration, I was at a house party at one of the officers' kids' houses, and it was this weird amalgamation of everything that a teen movie would have. And I don't know why this particular officer wasn't at home with his kids on New Year's Eve of all nights, but he allowed his daughter to throw a party. And me and my best buddy was there, and there was alcohol, underage drinking, that's strike one. There was some, let's just say, banned substances, so that's strike two.
My goodness, in Japan, no less.
Yes, in Japan, no less. And it was just a lot of craziness. I'm sure there were some illicit things going on in various rooms of the house. But my buddy and I, being the video game nerds and wrestling nerds that we were, sat on the couch all night because somebody happened to bring in WWE Raw for the PlayStation 1.
Oh, my. And we, WWE Raw.
Yes, we sat on the couch and drank beer and played WWE Raw and were, like, just challenging people to beat us in the Royal Rumble. So, I mean, it was a good night for 20-year-old Nate, but probably also one of the, it's not a glamorous party story.
You know, you might have been the only wrestling fan that, when playing a wrestling video game at that particular time in history, was not playing WCW NWO World Tour, which was like the hottest game in the world at that time. That's that game I got for Christmas that very year. And I will guarantee you, the same time you were playing that game in Japan, I was in my basement playing that video game because I played it for like 2 weeks straight after getting it for Christmas. It was the greatest video game I had ever played up to that point in my life.
See, I wish I could go back in the time machine, and I wouldn't go back and get rid of Hitler. I wouldn't go back and free the slaves early. What I would do if I had a time machine is go back and replace that PlayStation with a Nintendo 64 so me and my drunk buddy could play WCW World Tour and or WCW NWO Revenge at that party.
Responsible time travel by Nate Milton here. Wow.
We'll get Hitler later. I got to play this New World Order.
As we look back, Nate, at a very busy year in pro wrestling, what are some stories that come to mind? Big, small, indifferent, and also maybe some stuff to look at in 2014 that has your personal interest. What are things you cared about this year and maybe are curious about how they play out in the new year?
Okay, I think three things. First of all, I think the biggest story of the year is probably the ascension of Daniel Bryan in the WWE. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's somebody that, you know, as quote unquote the internet fans or smarts or whatever, you know, this is a guy that's been on our radar for years. But for them to at least halfway give the guy the ball and let him run with it this year, and you see the response in every city he goes to, you know, this is a guy that is a main eventer and should be the focus of your program. And I'm not sure if 2 or 3 years ago he would have gotten that opportunity. So Daniel Bryan to me is the biggest story in wrestling this year. A story that I thought would be a whole lot bigger, and it's kind of been swept under the rug. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing or what kind of comment that makes on society or wrestling fans, is the Darren Young story. You know, mm-hmm. I remember at SummerSlam, you know, that was a big deal. You know, we had a section of that on the Kings of Sport discussing, you know, the impact, if any, that that would have. And, you know, I think wrestling fans were accepting as they could be, but I was surprised that he didn't get any sort of push out of that. You know, and I'm thinking, this is Vince McMahon. He doesn't miss an opportunity to capitalize or exploit, if you're looking on the negative side, anything. And to see that Darren Young really has just kind of stayed in the same role, it kind of makes me scratch my head because I think there could have been a bigger story told out of that. And then finally, the last story that I would say, you know, kind of encapsulates this year in wrestling is turmoil in the TNA. I mean, Hogan gone, but everything else kind of remains the same. And, you know, there's the reports popping up about people leaving, people staying, and, you know, somebody's coming in to buy the company. Who's you know, in charge here. It's like, this is a company that hasn't really had a bad year, but they haven't really had a good year either. And it's kind of par for the course. This is a company that, of course, obviously I'm a fan of and I want to see succeed, but they've kind of been treading water for at least, you know, a decade, maybe more. And, you know, in the new year, I would hope to see some forward momentum from this company because they do have some talent and they do have, you know, one of my favorite characters in wrestling this year has been Ethan Carter III. And I don't think I would have pictured that at the beginning of the year. You know, they've got some young talent. It's just a matter of whether the creative and the people in the front office can kind of get this company going.
All right. Three questions before we let you go. Who is going to win the Royal Rumble next month?
My pick in my heart that I want to see is the Ultimate Warrior, but...
Oh, my God. What are you talking about, the Ultimate Warrior?
Yes, Marcus on the show has the same opinion, because every time I bring it up, I'm like, you know, this is the Ultimate Warrior. They got the deal, the video game.
Oh, God.
Have him come in at number 28. The other two guys are fighting, and he just clotheslines them over the ropes. And the Warrior, you get Warrior Punk at WrestleMania, but
you're nuts. I can buy Hall of Fame. I think Hall of Fame. There's a chance he goes in. All right. My second question: how many TNA pay-per-views will we be talking about in 2013?
I think they're still going
to 2014.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're still going to stick to four because I think that's just the best number. I think they, you know, Genesis is not a pay-per-view anymore, but I think they bumped Destination X up into that pay-per-view spot.
All right, and last question. Of the 52 weeks we have ahead of us in 2014, how many weeks will Wei join us on Review and Impact? More or less than the number of TNA pay-per-views?
Well, as to paraphrase a wise man, the only thing that's for sure about TNA is that nothing's for sure.
Finer words have never been spoken. Nate, you have a tremendous New Year's, and we will be chatting with you later on this week, actually, after Boxing Day Impact and the Monsters Ball.
Yes, thank you, John. I cannot wait to see what 2014 has in store for us in the wide world of professional wrestling.
All right. You have a safe and, you have a little bit of a 97 New Year's Eve coming up in a couple days.
Yeah, I mean, if I can find a copy of WWE Raw out there on Amazon, I'm going to party like it's 1997.
Go for the 64. Try and find a 64 somewhere.
Sounds good, right. John.
What's going on here? What's happening?
That was Nate Milton. You're back. How are you feeling? I'm going to boldly predict that you have vomited for the last time on this show.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, we'll see about that.
All right.
Maybe you'll need to vomit.
I don't think I'll have to. I think I'll
be
sure?
Okay. You sure? Okay. All right.
I think so.
I know how much jet lag affects you from Russia.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, we'll do our best. I think I'm all clear, though.
Okay. Well, Nate, thank you for joining us. What did you think about... Did you get to overhear our conversation about Nate's New Year's Eve from 97?
Yeah. Yeah, I heard. Tremendous story. I wish I knew Nate from back then.
Lots of stuff going on. We go to Will Tricity from Australia, who has sent us his song via email, which I've downloaded. And we're going to listen to some music now.
Email.
Oh, Christ. Which one was
the technology
this?
That is ruining the lives of... thousands of post workers.
Okay, here he is. To Mr. Pollock, Mr. Ting, and the other losters, I listened to the first 10 minutes of Review Away, paused it, and wrote and recorded the attached pop song, Body Slam Christmas. I have also taken the time to scan in the lyric sheets I wrote for the benefit of the deaf or for those who have trouble with my Australian accent. I hope you enjoy. P.S. I can't attach the MP3. It's too large. What should I do? Okay, well, we figured that out. He's emailed it to us. Body Slam Christmas from Will Tricity. Nice little beat. About to get very Australian.
We're dancing. We're dancing here.
Well, he's doing a handstand.
Yo, I walk down the aisle to the booze of the fans. Cut a little promo about how I'm the man. Santa comes
like
out,
Lonely Island.
Interrupts my little speech. The children all cheer, what a bunch of little freaks. Mr. Yeaton rings the bell, me and Santa lock up. He
gets the advantage till I kick him in the nuts. I shoot him to the corner, charge in running knee. Try a hanging suplex, he reverses it on me. It's a body slam Christmas.
Oh, oh, oh.
Don't call me a jobber.
Yeah.
It's a body slam Christmas.
Oh, oh, oh.
I'm a ham and egg nogger.
Yeah. These are the sounds. Straight from
this ain't bad. How would you analyze this lyric anyway?
Santa picks me up, but I poke him in the eyes. Bite him on the forehead and kick him in the thighs. I work his fat legs, becomes
so much hatred for Santa.
Rolling heel hook, going for the submission. He's about to give up, and the crowd's going wild. Hearts beat fast in the chest of every child. Santa reaches the rope. Mark Curtis counts five. A flurry of punches. Santa's coming back to life.
I love how he
body slam Christmas.
I love how he includes. Leave it on in the background. Leave it low.
Don't call me a joke.
I love how he incorporates all the insider it's WWE names.
Mark Curtis. Mark Eaton.
Yeah. I like this a lot. This is like. It's like he's like a group, but he's one guy. You know what I mean?
So this gets a thumbs up from Wei Ting.
Yeah.
With a high cross body, Sonny jumps on the apron and he's distracted by a hottie. Sneak up with.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I mean,
good shit from Will Tricity.
It's just like a funky little thing, and I could totally see myself listening to this. I would love to see him perform this live. In person.
That would be very cool, actually. Our next one is Kirk from England, who says that I'm in no way talented enough to record my own wrestling-related Christmas song, so instead I'd like to point you in the direction of my favorite Christmas song, Froggy Fresh, and his John Cena merchandise Christmas song.
No.
Let's skip.
Yeah, sorry.
We need original content.
We don't have time.
Few predictions, though, he throws in. Ultimate Warrior returns to WWE TV. HBK has one more match. Wade Barrett disappears and comes back with another stupid gimmick. All very possible. Dan from Beverly, England. Man, a lot of British.
Why don't you do content. All the British feedback in a British accent?
I'm not going to do that.
Why not?
Would you care to do it? You come
I'll,
up with these great I'll ideas try. Where you have no involvement.
Okay, I'll try this. Merry Christmas, guys. I'm looking forward to hearing this amazing Christmas show. No doubt I'll stick it on after lunch on the day itself. My questions are, what do you guys get up to on a regular Christmas day? Do you open presents in the morning or afternoon? Do you go and see family or stay in? What do you prefer as...
Keep going. This is the greatest Jewish Brit I've ever heard.
What do you prefer as your Christmas day meat? Chicken, turkey, lamb, pork, duck, beef, other? Do you want to answer that?
No, first? I want you to keep going. I will be having turkey on Christmas Day.
Okay. If you had a Christmas wish, but you were only allowed to bring a wrestler who has passed away
that's
back from
morbid.
The dead, who would you choose? No, let's move on.
That was great.
Who would
way.
You choose? Well, answer the question.
I don't have anyone I would bring back from the dead.
Who
that's just a little
I would
too creepy.
Bring back from the dead? To have a match? Just to have one match?
How about to see their family? Wouldn't that be a nicer reason to bring someone back from the dead?
No, we only bring them back to have one match, and then we send them to kill them again.
McGluff. Figured I would have a go at making a song for you guys. My somewhat experimental effort features John burying Miz and proclaiming his love for a certain physical pastime during the holidays. Sorry, it's not that Christmassy. Here's the link. So we're going over to SoundCloud. Let's hear what McGluff had to give us this year. All right. Christmas.
Yeah. The drums.
It's not a main event storyline. It's like if The Miz was like a giant dildo.
and let's make him, like, that sounds as ludicrous as this. I am the Miz. Listen to those lyrics of his theme song, and this guy's gonna headline live audio wrestling. Fuck off that this guy had potential with this gimmick. This was a killer. I would have put Dave Meltzer with a cowboy hat and a sheriff badge coming out, having a better chance of getting over than Mike Mizanin.
I know. The Chris Miz edition.
Oh, man. Asses. Asses. I like to fuck asses. Asses.
What the fuck is this?
Christmas. Asses. 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 I like to fuck Christmas. Asses. Asses. Better come up from behind. Asses. Way is
bouncing.
Way is
bouncing.
Way is
bouncing. I'm not very coordinated.
Way is
bouncing.
Way is
bouncing.
Way is
bouncing. You're interrupting me from my sleep.
Way is
bouncing.
Way is
bouncing.
Way is
bouncing. I'm not very coordinated.
Way is
bouncing.
Way is
bouncing.
Way is
bouncing. I'm not very coordinated when I'm bouncing.
Asses. I like to fuck asses. 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 Asses.
Christmas.
Asses. 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 Oh, I like to fuck
no,
Christmas.
We're gonna do
asses.
The end here.
Asses. Better come up from behind. Asses.
But, you know, you just don't want to, like, go out there and spend all this time shopping in case, you know, that
Christmas,
you know,
gets canceled.
Minute, Christmas is canceled because of Vince McMahon. So.
Oh, wow. It's
with cameos from Dave and Brian at the end. Well, that was
I don't remember you saying that, John.
I don't think I said half of that regarding The Miz. I think all of that was my rant on Brodus Clay when he debuted.
You did say that you liked the fuck asses, though.
It sounded like pluck.
It sounded like fuck to me.
It sounded like pluck.
Well, then, okay. Is that any better? I like to pluck asses?
I don't know what that means necessarily. Well, clearly a lot of time spent.
Yeah.
Which is both sad and to be appreciated, I guess,
yes,
on some
yes.
level.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, McLuff.
Like everything we do here.
Derek from Denton, Texas. Do you get the feeling that as a wrestling fan gets older and knows more about the business, they start to gravitate towards the heels more than the baby faces?
Yeah.
Yes.
For example. I think the reason is because as you get older, you start to realize that wrestling is fake. And rather than, you know, like somebody simply because they're a good guy, you start to like somebody because they're good at what they're doing.
2014 prediction, U.S. and IC titles regain some of their luster since we no longer have two main titles, and the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion besides Cena, Orton, Punk, or Bryan. Someone else will win the title. This one's good. Dan from Calgary, the sleepiest city in Canada, he notes.
Yes.
In reference to a great caller from a week and a half ago on the lot.
Legendary.
This is the kind of thing I wanted, okay? Since I'm terrible at singing, I decided to give you guys the next best thing. If WWE put out a Christmas album, we could maybe see these songs on the CD.
Okay.
Jingle Bellas, I'm Dreaming of a Kerwin White Christmas, Santa Got Ran Over by a Del Rio, Let It All Snow, Last Christmas, I Gave You a Push, the very next day you took it away, Deck the Scott Halls, Eva the Red-Haired Total Diva, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and number 9, Baby It's Stone Cold Outside.
No, very,
I love that.
Very good.
That's excellent.
Yeah, really good.
He has a lot more here, but you know what, Dan? We're going to do you a favor. We're going to keep it concise, and you're going to leave on a high note. We continue.
Hey, what was that one up there?
This was just recapping an answer before. It was just responding to it.
We're following the thread, so if you guys want to follow our completely chaotic show here.
All right. Oh, I hear something.
Oh, what does that mean?
Is it Santa? Is it a bird? It's a plane? No. It's the next entrant in the Review Away Rumble. Hey, Mouth, what's happening?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
We're doing great. We're just going to go right into things here. We've got some Motorhead coming in for you.
Hey, sounds good.
Merry Christmas, Mouth. How could we have a Christmas show here without Dan Lavransky here joining us on Christmas morning, no less? What else do we do than chat in podcast form on Christmas morning?
Well, you know, you get up early anyways, you get the gifts out of the way, and then it's back to wrestling.
What is Dan Lavransky's Christmas looking like for 2013? Any Lavransky family traditions?
No, just the best tradition that I enjoy at Christmas is having a super large meal with my family. My mother outdoes herself every year. She'll have the huge turkey. We'll have a big meal. We'll probably have ham the night before, another big meal on Christmas Eve. And then we just lie around, and she does all her own baking.
Oh, wow.
She does her own cookies and pies. Like, seriously, I'm basically looking at, like, 10 pounds is what I'm looking at Christmas.
I want to congratulate you on your son coming up.
We need to explain that to Mouth.
Yeah, you got me there, Wei. What's going on?
Actually, this will make sense at the end of the show.
Never mind.
We have a surprise guest coming up that we'll tell you about off the air to keep the surprise going. There is no...
Okay.
It's a very strange joke, but it'll be funny in the end.
It'll make sense to everybody.
What a non sequitur tease from one Wei Ting. Mouth, this is 1 year, because usually you'll go home for Christmas and we miss you for a week on the law, but this year it turns out great, where we get our best of and worst of. I think chronologically, the best it's turned out in years.
Yeah, absolutely. Whenever Christmas is in the middle of the week, it works a lot better for us. So yeah, no gaps. And you know, best and the worst. I know we do it every year, but I also kind of like getting it out of the way as quick as possible, so we can dive straight in and keep going to see what's going to happen. But I think this year's best and worst. It should be good. I think there's going to be a lot of different things covered. It's been a very interesting year, like both in North American wrestling and like stuff in Japan and Mexico too. So I think we'll all have a very interesting selection of picks. I'm looking forward to it.
As you're kind of in review mode right now and you think of 2013, I mean, what jumps out at you from any of the promotions this year, UFC included?
I guess the main thing that bothers me, I think the one thing that I keep going back to on the show is just the way that the WWE has ignored the way that what the fans seem to want, and that the fact that they want Daniel Bryan and CM Punk at the top of the card, they don't want Randy Orton, they don't want John Cena. And to me, that really was one of the most interesting stories of the year. I just couldn't believe it. And also connected to the WWE with, having a great first half of the year, having pay-per-views that, you and I and Jay on the show were talking like best shows of the year. And so all of a sudden turning around to a show like the last one where we just all kind of like yawned through the whole thing. So I'm really intrigued to see where they go next year in terms of kind of trying to get some new stars at the top and really pay attention to what the fans say, for God's sake. How much more obvious can it be?
Have you read the WWF comic?
Wei, no, I have not. All I've seen is the front cover, the picture on the front cover, so I haven't had a chance to read it. Is it any good?
I haven't read it either, but I've just heard some reviews of it. Some people saying it's not that good.
It's written by Mick Foley,
yeah.
So I'm kind of interested to get this
read. Is it a Christmas thing? Like, it sounds to me like it's a Christmas-oriented story, or...
I don't know if it's Christmas-themed, but I mean, it's going to be a regular series from pretty much to... Talk about, I think, some of the origins of characters and kind of what they do week to week. I mean, it's an interesting project, to say the least. I feel you and Wei are going to not enjoy it, because this is going to be – you're going to have a comparison point. Me, it's just kind of throwaway.
No, I enjoy it.
We'll see. I mean, not only do I have the comparison point that, yeah, we love comics, but there's been lots of different wrestling attempted comics in the past. And you know what? They rarely exceed – Marvel tried to do a WCW one in the early 90s that's totally laughable. It's just ridiculous. And then even when those ones that were done in the Attitude Era with Austin and Foley and Taker, China got her own comic book. They weren't exactly stellar comic books. So, I mean, maybe Foley will have the touch. I guess it just depends on the approach they take it and if they aim it at the really, really young kids, because those... The ones during the Attitude Era were really aimed at older kids. Is this supposed to be aimed at super young kids?
I don't know. I would imagine so if it was Foley doing it. And, like, these comic books are always, usually, almost always in character. I would love if they did, like, a behind-the-scenes
WWE.
Dolph, you're losing again tonight.
Yeah. And just like have meetings and creative. You show all that. And then all the fights backstage. Hey, you stole my move.
AJ Lee and Michelle Beadle, we could have.
That's right.
It all plays out in the comic.
Double page spread of Randy Orton shitting in some diva's bag.
That's right.
The adult comic
have,
book.
That's right. Yeah. You could have a story every issue that's like a classic rib. And you can do the whole thing with the Bulldogs and the Rougeaus and Mr. Perfect and work, put them all in there.
Have you been following Superior Spider-Man?
Now, you know what? Way I have not. I only got read of the first few issues, so I'm really out of the loop.
Okay. What issue are you up to?
Like three.
Three, okay, cool.
What were you reading this year, Mouth?
You know what? I haven't read really too much stuff that was current. I've been mostly just delving into older stuff. I was reading the Jack Kirby Captain America stuff from the 70s, which is just totally crazy and fun. I was reading... I've been reading some old Incredible Hulk back from in the 90s where this guy, Peter David, wrote it. He took the Hulk in a totally different way and actually made him a character that could talk and could think and had a personality. And he really played with the character quite a bit, more than they ever have. So I've been reading some of those. Yeah, just whatever. Oh, and I did read Ecstatic versus the Avengers. And I thought the artwork was pretty good, but overall, I really didn't think the story was that intriguing.
Oh, wasn't that good? I haven't read it yet, but we're speaking, of course, of Mike Allred. And his
Love his artwork. Like, I love the way he drew the Avengers and stuff like that. Yeah. I think his style is great. I just didn't think the story was particularly captivating.
One of my moments of the past year, at least in podcasting, was when I let Dan Lebransky know that Mike Allred, this artist, was doing Silver Surfer in the New
York.
And Mouth's reaction was, "You're kidding!" It was one of the great genuine geek
I guess,
reactions.
Well, you know what happened was I instantly had a picture in my head of how he would draw the Silver Surfer, and I just thought, that is going to, like, his style will work really good with Silver Surfer, I think. So I'm actually pumped. Like, that's one that I'll definitely search out when it comes out.
Now, my question, Mouth, is that this coming weekend, it's UFC 168. I know you'll be watching. Will Mother Lavransky be watching as well?
You know what, John? She probably will be. I mean,
Mouth's mom is, like, the biggest MMA fan.
Whoa, for real?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, she's a big fan. My dad, I mean, my love of boxing when I was younger certainly came from my father. He always watched the big boxing fights and stuff. And when UFC came along, to me, I had no trouble getting into it. But yeah, over the past few years, my mother has really gotten into it. Like, she watches the TV shows. Her and dad will order the pay-per-views. She was totally blown away by Mark Hunt and Bigfoot Silva. She thought that fight was great.
Does she know about the positive drug test now for Antonio Silva?
No, I don't know if she's known that. But she's like, she's following all the GSP stuff. Like, she called me the next day after the GSP fight and was like, "Oh, Dan, he's going to retire and what's going to happen and all this." And, you know, so I talked to her this week. She heard all the news stories on GSP and stuff. So, yeah, she seems to enjoy it, yeah.
Did she think Hendricks won that fight at 167?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes, she did, actually.
Two of my favorite people to hear opinions of are Dan's mother and Way's father about how they follow wrestling with Way's dad and your mom with mixed martial arts.
Yeah. No, she'll be watching it for sure. I don't think she watched Ultimate Fighter, but she does know who, like, Ronda Rousey is, and I know she wants to see that fight. And I know my dad will be interested in the Anderson Silva fight because he always enjoys. He's one of the guys that enjoys his fights. So I think they'll both be pumped for that one. Yeah.
Well, Mouth, I want to thank you for joining us here on this Review Away Christmas morning special. We've been plugging everyone's Twitter, but we have no Twitter account to plug for you.
Mouth has Facebook.
He does have Facebook. I don't know if he wants that out for the whole public out there, but you can find Dan Lavransky on Facebook.
I believe the rule is you must have a photo. You can't.
Yeah, well, send me a request and I'm not going to know who you are, give me the reason. Like, even if you just say, "Hey, I'm a fan of the law," I will... I will put you on. I just need to know. I'm not into like blind Facebook roulette like some people.
Chat roulette.
One prediction, Mouth. Winner of this Royal Rumble that's coming up next month. Anyone that stands out for you? We've been asking everybody that question today.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a great one. I thought you were going to ask me something like predict something for the new year where I could easily go, Hulk Hogan will be at WrestleMania, or the WWE Network is going to fail. Wow. I still would love to see someone like Daniel Bryan win it and get himself, the whole Flair kind of thing, go in super early, last through the whole thing. And I'd like to see him get the title shot out of the Rumble. I think that would be awesome.
All right. Well, you will be hearing Dan Lavransky along with the two of us and Jason Agnew this Sunday night for our annual Best of 2013, which will be followed by our Worst of 2013 the following week. So you can tune in midnight Eastern time, and we'll chat with you then. Mouth, have a great rest of your Christmas.
You two guys, enjoy your rest of the Christmas day, and, enjoy dinner, because food and drink, that's one of the best things about Christmas.
Dan Lavransky.
Wow.
Couldn't have a Law Christmas show without the Mouth.
No. Mouth is just always so upbeat and cheerful, so perfect.
Who else
Christmas.
Had the podcast in mind of your dad and his mom doing the show together?
You, not me.
Mouth-ting.
I don't
Mouth-ting
know.
Mouth-ting off.
I don't know if they I don't know if they could communicate that well.
Oh, it'd be great. All right, we still have more guests to come with. We still have way more guests.
This show will never ever end. We're going to go all the way until New Year's.
We still got more songs, which next up, Sergey from Russia has put together a song. We're going to listen to it right now. Sergey, always part of the musical contributions when we do these contests, so my expectations are a bit elevated for Lloyd. And he's following Plucking Asses. So let's see if Sergey can top it. This is entitled Lloyd's Dream.
Lloyd's Dream.
And it's short, which I love. Oh, this poor guy. I wonder if he knows.
Oh, beautiful.
That gets an A for inside joke that everyone here listening gets. 34 seconds. Great entrance. And yeah. It had a Christmas instrumental.
Yeah. It sounded Christmassy.
That hit all of the criteria that I wanted.
It also sounded like his dream. Like, I felt like I was inside his mind.
That was very meta.
During that 1:50 a.m. phone call.
So...
thank you very much, Sergey.
That was great. So, Sergey, a Hall of Fame entry there. Greg Taylor, who's got some predictions for next year. One, a fellow traveler will approach CM Punk at O'Hare Airport and ask him if he has time. Punk will punch him in the face, screaming, "Leave me alone, you mark!" He will face no disciplinary action as a result. I'm only going to read...
Just read what you want. Read the last one.
John Pollock will relent and finally vote a deserving Sting into the Hall of Fame. Sorry, I meant Ming. He did misspell Ming here. Yeah, me and Greg went very much back and forth. He's very much in favor of Sting. I am not.
I think he is.
Well. Next song, Tyler. Give Presents Away, spelled A-W-A-I. As we load this up, and we get a picture there of Tyler, I think.
Yeah.
Unforgiven again and again.
Automatic points,
beautiful
now
chords.
Now they don't begin until they're plugged in.
I'm liking this one a lot.
Out Scott Puskies. Those who would you send? Occasionally the Vransky. join in.
It's like heartfelt. Oh,
I've got review away. Raw end and packed.
If our plane ever goes down way, this will be played at our funeral.
Oh, don't say that.
I ever wanted. And I'll never give it back.
Uncle Cracker.
Jersey Shore trial.
Nice.
Just didn't last. I hope in a while John might bring it back. Oh, Christmas.
I loved it. Man. Tyler Burns.
Man, I feel like you guys are wasting all your talent on us, on this show. Like,
man.
You guys should be performing in open mic nights.
These are some impressive songs. We got to remember to keep one song for the end to go out with. So
let's stagger this. That was awesome. Thank
that
you,
was
Tyler.
Really good. And I feel like the songs are building. Like, they're building with, like, creativity.
Oh, and, like, I just love how everybody has their own style. You know, we heard a chant, Australian rap. We heard a great guitars.
Tom and Charlie knocking it out of the park at the beginning.
Yeah, we heard an edit up version of something disgusting John said. Yeah, some great stuff.
D-Lon from Michigan. My question is, do you guys ever go back and listen to reviews you have done? And if so, do you have any favorites? His favorites are Halloween Havoc and Great American Bash 2000. I've listened to those multiple times. Didn't have much time to finish this, so I hope you like it. So he sent us a song. Do you ever listen to us, Way?
I never go back to listen. I might go, like, I might listen the day after just to see, oh, yeah, this was really funny. I want to hear how that came across. But I don't know. I just don't like the sound of my voice.
Let's hear his song here. This is from D-Lon in Michigan. D-Lon.
Welcome to Review a Fucking Way, the uncensored version.
This was one of those shows that kind of made me unhappy to be alive.
Oh my god.
They got a fucking monster truck. Fucking monster truck.
Are you ready for your ambulance match?
Ambulance match.
I don't think so, bimbo.
She's so bad.
This is the worst pay-per-view in history here.
Oh my god.
This is a ridiculous pay-per-view.
Like, it just started to stress me out about all the other things I hate about my life. But, like, small things, too. Like, I was sitting in my living room watching this, and then, like, I just, like, all of a sudden feel just kind of really tense and uncomfortable, and I would just, like, pick out things like, my couch is too short. Like, I wish I had a longer couch to rest my thighs, and I would just be really uncomfortable. And I lost my remote, and I just got really, really stressed out and angry at my life.
This was the definition of
you sound suicidal in some ways.
It makes zero sense.
We probably shouldn't talk over it.
I don't care. I don't want to analyze it. I don't give a shit.
Do you have to give the audience something they've never seen before? You have to surprise them at every second of the show.
Anyone who defends Vince Russo, I want you to just sit through every 2000 WCW pay-per-view and tell me. Because this is the epitome of his booking. Where he's just doing shit for the sake of doing shit without any rhyme or reason, nor anybody giving a shit.
They were just genuinely embarrassed to be a part of this.
This was the most fucked up segment I've ever seen in pro wrestling.
We're just like a bunch of really negative people.
I sound unlikable.
Yeah,
you sound like you're going to die.
Yeah, I don't like myself at all. Like this, you know, like who are these assholes that are just? First of all, we cuss way too much.
We do.
And in the new year, we're not going to say any bad words. For the whole year. That's my resolution. I'm not going to say any bad word the entire year.
It really messes me up. Because sometimes I'll do a rant on the MMA report, and I'm so used to swearing on this show that I got to watch myself.
Well, we won't do it. And we're just very unhappy, bitter people. And
that's
not
true at all.
I sound like that even as I'm talking about this.
No, I don't think that's true at all. You know who's going to brighten up our spirits?
Who?
Our next guests. What? Plural?
Guess.
You know what? This might be some international flavor, much like when Tenryu entered the 1993 Royal Rumble. Maybe that's going to be our next guest.
Wow, what a reference.
Thanks to John and Wei, and Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to us all. Merry Christmas, WH.
Merry Christmas, Chris.
Yeah.
Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever people are celebrating or observing out there this holiday season.
Right. And since it's Christmas in Japan over here, and you might not know much about Christmas in Japan, here's some fun facts about Christmas you might not know. About our great country. Fact number one is that if you are the too cool for Christmas Jason Agnew type in Japan, you might be pleased to know that unless you are a child or work in education, as me and WH do, then Christmas is just another work day. It's just another day. You don't even get overtime.
Nope.
Fact number two, people eat KFC at Christmas.
Yes, and cake.
Yeah, cake, but not nice, not proper, stodgy British Christmas cake with fruit and marzipan on it. No, they eat sponge cake with lots of whipped cream and a strawberry on top.
Yeah, that constitutes a Christmas dinner for a lot of people over here. Oh, I'm going to get fried chicken and eat a cake. It's a very bizarre and unsavory combination.
Fact number three, Shinjuku department store, what's the one in Shinjuku? Lumiere, I think, once held a massive load of hype for their Christmas decorations one year, and then unveiled, and it was Santa on a crucifix. Citation needed.
Awesome.
So, WH 2013's in the books. What a year.
Yeah, pretty interesting. A lot of fragmentation of wrestling going on in this country. Hopefully, I don't really think it was that great. Not a stellar year like 2012. You know, it was okay.
Right.
I thought New Japan was good as usual, but nothing new happening there, and all the other companies were just kind of going along.
If you want to find out more about how shit 2013 was, you can listen to December's episode of Japanese Audio Wrestling, where we talked about the best of the year, and we went into great depth on Koji Kanemoto. And next month, we'll be coming to you almost live from the Tokyo Dome, not quite. As January the 4th, Wrestle Kingdom 8 happens, and January the 5th, it's our January 2014 edition of Japanese Audio Wrestling, featuring none other than John Pollock guest starring alongside us two. And WH, what do you think we'll be talking about on that show? What's going to be the big news? Oh, Nakamura and Tanahashi, that's headlining the show. It won that poll.
Yes, it did. Probably how Naito's overrated, and that how great the idea, how much more important the Intercontinental Championship has become.
Fantastic. There we go. Right, to the detriment of the World Heavyweight title. But, you know, hey, have you got, that's the other thing. Have you got your Wrestle Kingdom popcorn?
Oh, no. Well, I got to wait for the Gracie match, don't I?
No, but you can get official Wrestle Kingdom popcorn.
Oh.
The convenience and everything.
Oh, really? No. I neglected to check. Which convenience?
I don't know. I saw someone tweet it, and then I looked in my convenience the last couple of days, and it wasn't there.
It wasn't there. I haven't seen any New Japan Wrestle Kingdom popcorn.
Wrestle Kingdom popcorn, and it's all over the Yamanote trains as well.
But I still wouldn't buy it beforehand. I'd wait till the Gracie match with Nagata and Sakuraba. That's what that match is there for.
Staunchly refusing to watch. It might be really good. You don't know. Might be really good. You don't know.
Okay, might be. That's what. I think it's unlikely it'll be really good, but possible. I wouldn't say might. That's, you know, the grammar person in me is no, that's too high of a probability. You know, could be unlikely.
2014, it will probably be shit. Merry Christmas, everybody. Back to Toronto. Bye.
Bye.
So there you go. Chris Charlton and W.H. Park stopping by. Amazing. Unassisted.
I actually need to blow my nose.
Well, we were both hitting the washroom during that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we both
no,
had.
I'm not joking. I need to step out.
Oh, you really do? Yeah. I thought you were making some reference. I mean, the interview's over. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep reading some of these. As Way legit goes to blow his nose. Pat from Atlanta writes, before WWE's 2013 Hall of Fame class, many saw Bruno Sammartino and Bob Backlund as two of the legends most worthy of induction who had not yet been inducted along with Randy Savage. Aside from Savage, who do you think are the most glaring examples of men or women that should be in the Hall of Fame in the WWE but are not? I'm looking for figures who have been important specifically to the WWF, not for those who have been important to pro wrestling as a whole, like Luthez or Sputnik Monroe, though it's great that WWE honors outside figures who are important to the history of wrestling. Yeah, you know what? Savage is the first one that comes to mind for me. I think that if you want to go back, I mean, there's certainly cases that you can make for, you know, a Spiros Arion, who was a great drawing opponent for one Bruno Sammartino way back when Madison Square Garden and their ability to draw there had kind of fallen off a little bit. So that was a big program. But, I mean, it was one program. It wasn't necessarily a guy that had a sustained big history with the WWWF at the time. But Savage, I think, is the one that makes the most sense. I mean, you can make cases for anybody in the WWE Hall of Fame. You really don't have a giant criteria that people have to meet to go into that Hall of Fame. It's all who makes sense for that given year, who the WWE might have a relationship with or want to make a relationship with. I mean, it behooves them, I think, to kind of go back and kind of remind people of who some people are from their history as you're pushing the network a lot, and maybe you try and do a bit of a refresher with people by going back and honoring some people like a Larry Zbysko, for instance, who you could very well see go in at some point. People like, I don't even know who necessarily jumps out at you that might not already be in the Hall of Fame because they've, you know, when it comes to WWF history, they have their people that they've put in. Bruno and Bob Backlund to me were giant omissions that were corrected this year. So can't argue too much to the contrary there. Shane Silver. Excellent stuff as always, guys. I've got about as much musical talent as a fucking chicken McNugget, so I'll drop my prediction. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla has another fabulous year. They've been on a sublime roll since early 2009. Way has blown his nose. And PWG have built up momentum like a red-hot babyface. My prediction is this. 2014 will mark the end of PWG due to how massive they are getting. They are getting hotter and hotter, stronger and stronger, but it comes at a price. PWG is like the holy battleground where ROH stars collide with Dragon Gate Evolve stars and the top indie free agents get to rub shoulders with the best around. How do they do this? They forgo iPay-per-view, thus they aren't constrained by contracts. ROH wrestlers can't appear on Dragon Gate, vice versa. But PWG needs iPay-per-view for themselves in order to grow. They can't accommodate all this success they are having for much longer. They need growth in order to survive and rightly claim the title of best North American wrestling company. Are they going to keep packing 400 people into Reseda forever, or is something going to snap and cause the company to go haywire and out like a bang? It's like filling up a water balloon. Sooner or later, it's going to burst, unless you chuck it at someone's fucking head and die with a grin. Happy birthday, guys. Happy Christmas, guys. I truly appreciate all the hard work you put into this. That's a real interesting look at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, which has become really the standout indie, I feel, in North America at this state going into 2014. Those shows, people rave about being out live in Reseda.
I've talked about the highlight clips that I've only seen, and that's really the only
we need to review some PWG. That's one promotion we've never reviewed before, and I would love to watch more of them, which I admittedly don't get to see a whole lot of.
What about that one?
Just not original. And Guy Ray sent us in something already.
Okay,
part two predictions. Guys, we gotta keep this going. Zach, what's up, guys? First-time contributor. This is a little song I threw together. Hope you enjoy it. Pardon the bad singing. My prediction for 2014 is the unified title doesn't last until 2015, as there will be a power struggle between Vince and the man of many H's, resulting in the splitting of titles. Thanks for the endless hours of entertainment you guys provide. Merry Christmas, John and Way. So this is coming from Zach.
Rocking.
Rocking.
as the crowd finds tragic flaws. Rocking around the wrestling ring, Merry Christmas, John and Ting. Later we'll have a Broadway brawl and we'll do Fandango in.
Yeah, I'm liking
you
this.
You will get a nauseating feeling when you see commentators taking
selfies.
What a bunch of freaking dweebs rocking around the wrestling ring, have a little TNA.
This guy's got a great voice.
Watch me some Mr. Kennedy as we watch Impact decay.
Merry Christmas, Santa.
Oh, I dropped.
Strong as Santa. And this is going to be the merriest, merriest Christmas of them all. And you know why? Because that's what Santa does.
Nice sample.
You will get a nauseating feeling when you hear the bad music of Great Khali and that cokehead Mojo Rawley rocking around the rest.
Mojo Rawley, NXT.
The cokehead quality.
His interpretation of the character.
Oh. Merry Christmas.
Big ending here.
John and Wayne.
Yeah. Woo. That was a. What's playing? Oh.
It was the end of the song.
That was.
Hey, that was really good.
I think the guy was trying to be a little humble there about his singing and there get more Dude. Praise. That was a great, great, great voice.
More than we expected. I mean, jeez, wow.
Okay, I'm looking. Can we just dive into this next one? Because I listened to some of this and I couldn't even finish it because it was so funny.
All right.
This is Gaurav from India, a frequent contributor to our various shows. He has constructed a Christmas rap called Why I Hate Christmas.
Okay.
Are you ready, Way?
I'm ready.
Okay. This is about a minute or so in length, and we're just
going
to...
Why do you hate Christmas, Gaurav?
Let's find out.
Let me tell you why I hate Christmas in the form of a freestyle rap right here on the Review Away Christmas show. Hashtag heal. This is the season to be spreading love and holiday cheer. But I'm pissed because I've been getting ripped off for the past 22 years. I asked for presents. All I ever got was yellow snow. So this year I'm turning Mrs. Claus into a ho-ho-ho.
Oh.
Christmas Eve and Santa Claus is kipping over my house. I'd be at his house with my hand up Mrs. Claus's blouse.
Oh, bruh.
Fat ass gets stuck down some small chimney, which she'd be hanging off the balls from my Christmas tree. And yo, with all the other elves up there, I don't know who else been at it. So when I give her my Christmas present, I'll be damn sure that I wrap it. So Ooh. Put out your milk and cookies for good old Saint Nick. The longer he's gone, the longer Mrs. Claus is working my...
Oh. Gaurav.
Damn.
That was, man, that's why we have the explicit warning on iTunes.
Yeah, clearly breaking...
For raps like that.
Breaking our no cussing rule already.
Man.
That was awesome, man. I didn't know Gaurav had that talent. I think he should send in every piece of feedback from now on in the form of a freestyle rap.
That was just, I don't know what to say about that.
I was full of a ton of hatred.
We're on to page 4 of our feedback. I know the song that we are going to end the show with, but we still have some more guests, Way. So let's head on over and find out who drew...
To Brooklyn.
...the next number. Oh, you're spoiling.
I'm sorry. Okay. Dude, let's redo this. Redo this to start over. Live right now.
It's Christmas morning, and how could we possibly have the Review Away Christmas show without Brian Mann, one of our good friends, one of the branches of the live audio wrestling tree? Brian, how's Christmas morning in New York City?
Oh, it is fantastic, I'm sure.
Unfortunately, I'm at work today, though.
Oh, my goodness.
Entertainment news never sleeps, and I need to be on call.
What is it that you do, exactly?
That's a good question. I am the, I'm an entertainment producer and editor for Now This News. Kind of run all their entertainment coverage, and that allows me to sneak in pro wrestling from time to time.
And what is that? What is Now This News?
Now This News is a, essentially what it is it's a online media news company, kind of concentrating specifically on social media. So we do a lot of stuff on Instagram, do a lot of stuff on Twitter and whatnot, but we also have an app that anyone who's listening to this should download.
Oh, you should put a video tutorial together because I don't know how to download an app.
That's a good point. Maybe I'll see if I can cut something into an episode of The Law. We'll explain exactly how to download that and Stitcher and anything else you want.
Hey, you did that like that 30-second recap of Raw that I thought was excellent.
Were great, Brian.
Is that something you're going to continue
doing? I try to slip in a wrestling story a few a week. I did one on Batista. Not today, but on Saturday.
Yes, a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so every once in a while, you do your best to try to sneak some wrestling in. It wasn't important.
Way's a low speaker here, but you know we've been talking so much wrestling on this show. What were some of the big entertainment stories this year? I mean, you guys must be into kind of year end lists, best ofs, worst ofs. What were some big entertainment stories? Because me and Way are in a bit of a bubble. We don't know what's happening outside of the world of wrestling and MMA.
Well, all this week I'm going to be counting down my top 10 films on the Now This News Instagram account. So if you go there, we're going to reveal two choices every day with a pretty cool edited together packages kind of recapping each movie. Besides that, some really big things. I mean, Miley Cyrus is kind of a huge story.
Right.
One of the big stories just happened this past week in terms of Beyonce just out of nowhere releasing an album online without there being any advance advertising, breaking all of these records, which was pretty big. It was a very interesting year in terms of music. Music kind of eclipsed film a little bit in terms of the national conscience. A lot of the movies that came out this summer really didn't grab people the way that music did. The Daft Punk album and the Justin Timberlake album and the Kanye album, like this generated a whole lot more conversation and interest than a lot of the movies that kind of came out. I mean, Iron Man 3 was a massive movie and made tons of money, but people aren't really talking about it anymore like they are those albums.
Give me your list of, we're doing lists with people. What is your favorite list? Give me your top three albums of 2013.
My top three albums? My top three albums of last year probably would be the Vampire Weekend album, the Yeezus, and third one. And that's in no particular order.
Bangers.
Bangers is actually a pretty good album, honestly, and I'm sure a lot of pro wrestling fans listening to this will hate me for saying that. But Bangers is actually a pretty good album. I will say I really love that Timberlake album. I mean, mainstream pop music really stepped up their game this year, and we're pretty great all around.
Have you always been kind of a big pop fan, Brian? Because I do not. In high school, I used to keep it quiet, you know, that I was a big pop fan. I had NSYNC on my cassette mixtape at the time. And now I feel it's okay to be a big fan of pop music. Have you always kind of been of the same kind of mindset?
I've always enjoyed pop music. I mean, I went to a drama high school, so enjoying pop music wasn't necessarily I didn't make you an outcast as much as say
all guys Catholic school in Toronto might have been.
An all guys Catholic school? Where I went to school, I mean, watching pro wrestling and listening to like Limp Bizkit would have gotten you ostracized a little bit faster. Which is probably why I stopped doing those things when I entered high school. But no, pop music was definitely a thing that was certainly okay, as well as show tunes. But that's more of a guilty pleasure that I keep to myself now.
Hey, what do you think of Paul Rudd as Ant-Man?
Oh, I think that's great. I think that's great casting. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to sort of see Marvel and what they're doing right now in terms of their casting, and they have this really great shared universe, and every time they cast somebody, like, it isn't always who you thought, but it really, like, gets you interested because the chemistry is just so amazing. And one of the main reasons why Avengers works is that you just have these great actors who are just playing off each other so well. And I'm so excited to see Ant-Man and Iron Man and Captain America just trading, you know, jokes back and forth then you look across the aisle and you sort of see like what DC's doing with their shared universe. But they have this Batman versus Superman movie, and they're casting a lot of kind of bland, boring actors. Not to, you know, I mean, I think Ben Affleck's kind of an interesting choice, but Gal Gadot as like Wonder Woman. I don't see these people really containing our interest for like 6 years. And it's just interesting because Marvel has a very thought out plan in their minds, and they've had it for years in terms of like, well, here's every movie we're releasing for the next 15 years. Whereas DC looks like they're still throwing stuff together, you know, for a movie that starts shooting in a few weeks.
It seems like Marvel is putting a bit more emphasis on sort of the comedic aspect of a lot of their characters. Mm-hmm. Even in Thor, you know, especially, you know, with Iron Man, but especially here with Ant-Man, casting, you know, pretty much a comedian as a superhero, which I think works.
Yeah, no, and I'm really excited for Ant-Man because it's being directed by Edgar Wright, who's he's a really incredible director. I've loved every one of his movies, and it'll be fun to see him play in that sort of, in that playground.
Yeah. What else are you looking forward to that's coming up in 2014?
Well, in terms of, I mean, I guess to go sort of a somber note a little bit, I'm very curious to see what happens with the next Fast and Furious movie. I mean, that was a really kind of heartbreaking, sort of tragic thing that happened with Paul Walker and his passing. And I'm very kind of it's going to be interesting to see how they cover this because, you know, actors have died during production before. I mean, most recently Heath Ledger with Dark Knight, but he died doing the thing that his character does in the movie, which mm-hmm. I think, I know for me personally, at least right now, I don't want to watch, you know, I love those movies. I don't want to watch him driving the car for 2 hours.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens as a result of that. I was looking, it was actually kind of, the way that I found out was I was actually having my birthday dinner, and some friends and I, we were all just talking about how excited we were. And whenever you start talking about the Fast and Furious movies, it pretty much comes down to people who have seen the movie trying to convince people who have not seen these movies that they are actually quite great. And we were in the middle of having this discussion, and my friend next to me, like, his face just went completely blank, and he told us what had happened. He had just gone on Twitter, and it was weird that it happened literally in the middle of us discussing this. I'm interested to see what happens.
We found out at John's wedding when it was like during his
I guess that would. Yeah, that's what you guys were. Which, by the way, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Brian. But, you know, is this franchise, is it big enough that this will, by next summer, just be something that people are over it? Because I'm like you. I love the Fast and the Furious movies. The last three, I mean, give me an action movie that's more satisfying than those three. But on the same, I don't really am in the mood to see this. But that's right now when this is very fresh. By next summer, maybe people are more willing to go out and watch this.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe. I mean, part of it, I think the movies can continue without him. I mean, he kind of, you know, naturally, his character actually sort of like did sort of wrap up his arc. I mean, he became a father. He has a family now. If he had died before this next movie started shooting, they could have easily done it without him. But the fact that they did shoot the majority of it, and he is in it, and, I mean, they're debating all these things. Apparently, Universal's even debating having, like, bringing in his younger brother that looks a lot like him.
Yeah.
To, like, be a stand-in for him and, like, shoot the car scenes with him because you're not really going to be doing close-ups in there. And I don't know. We'll see where we are in a few months. But it was supposed to come out in July, and I'll be surprised if it comes out at all next year. Maybe Christmas, but it might be better served to wait until 2015.
Before we let you go, let's touch a bit upon the year in pro wrestling. What comes to mind for you? Highlights, lowlights, and maybe if you're optimistic about the new year for WWE, TNA, the floor is yours, Brian.
Do we want to start high or low?
Let's start with the bad, and we'll build up.
Okay. I believe the last time I was on I spoke with you guys about, or I think I just spoke with John in a later way about this whole Daniel Bryan thing. And at the time, I was really, really against the way that they handled the Daniel Bryan win and then loss at SummerSlam. I felt like they had the ability to really make a star that night, and instead they decided to go with the storyline, which they do numerous times. And everyone's like, wait and see. And I kind of feel like here, a few months later, I've sort of been vindicated in a way, because it does, you can feel that that wasn't the way to go. He was in a touch and go position, and they really needed to get behind him, and they didn't. and a lot of things suffered because of it. And if I had to kind of recap this past year for WWE, the negative at least, is that time and time again, it felt like they didn't necessarily do what was best with what they had at the moment. They either thought too far out in terms of storyline ideas, or they held themselves back with previous commitments. Just looking at WrestleMania, I mean, that's, yeah, it was the biggest WrestleMania of all time in terms of the amount of money it made, but it, the buys were down. And with the people you had, I mean, a John Cena-Rock rematch probably wasn't the way to go. A Lesnar-Hunter rematch wasn't the way to go. Punk Taker was still fantastic and maybe the best match of the year, only behind Punk Lesnar. But that's the thing. It's like they haven't, and even if you look at the current roster, they're not doing the best they could do with the assets that they have. That being said, there have been a lot of very good things they've done. I just mentioned, I mean, the Punk-Lesnar thing. I think Punk, even though at times he didn't have anything to do, the wheels are just kind of spinning on the whole Heyman thing, he was great in all of that. He never really lost his edge. I mean, Daniel Bryan, just seeing him emerge as this star that the fans have created, and I hope that if I'm optimistic about something, I'm hoping that WWE sees that and sort of follows through with it. The way the WrestleMania card is shaping up isn't making me too hopeful. I mean, in my opinion, I think that him and Punk is kind of the largest match that you could do. They've kept that one away from us long enough that I think it would be a really, really special thing when they finally come together, but you know, who knows? One thing, though, that I am extremely optimistic about with WWE is the WWE Network.
Yeah.
And if it does come out on these digital platforms, these streaming platforms, at the price points that are currently being quoted, I'm going to be front of the line getting that thing because I think that it really is a great deal and shows, I mean, they're making the best decision because every other option has sort of gone by the wayside. I don't think the physical network is the way to go. That's not where the medium is headed. For 15, I would even go so far as I would pay up to $20 for the network. All the pay-per-views are on it, and it has all these streaming options from the past. That's the thing that I'm probably the most excited for next year.
Well, the WWE Network, to me, that and their TV contracts, those are the two biggest stories for the year, I think, in the wrestling industry.
My hope is that if they get really great, solid TV deals, that bumps up. They also have the network. Maybe they ease up a little bit on being so worked up about just the next pay-per-view buy rate, the next rating, and they can feel comfortable for a little while because they really need that. They need that to rebuild for a while. And, I mean, if this whole Daniel Bryan thing had happened a year later and they weren't worried about their numbers being scrutinized so much, then they probably would have held on to him for a little bit longer. They wouldn't have brought Cena back so quickly.
It will be really interesting a year from now if there's a real philosophical switch from, you know, trying to get people to pay money once a month to you just want subscribers. And that certainly changes kind of your focus and what you're building towards and what you're trying to sustain with that audience. Last thing, who wins the Rumble next month, Brian? We've been asking everybody this question.
Ooh, I'm going to say next month the Royal Rumble is either going to be, I would say that at one point it probably might have been Batista. And they are probably rethinking that now that everyone's aware of his impending return. I'm gonna have to go with Daniel Bryan.
All right, a vote for Daniel Bryan from Brian, and you can follow him on Twitter at Brian Max Man.
Hey, Brian, what do you think of Total Divas? I've never spoken to you about that, or have I?
I haven't watched any of the second season. I've been meaning to, but the first season I absolutely loved it. I think it's such a great, refreshing and modern way of portraying those characters, and honestly, it's probably the best position for these women. When I worked there, I mean, the thing I would constantly run into was just like, why do we have these women's matches? Mm. We don't care about them. Vince doesn't care about them. We're not investing in them at all, and the audience isn't investing in them as people. Whereas I think this is a really great way of getting these personalities across, and I would love it if they did a similar show, maybe a little bit more of a serious edge about some of the guys either in NXT or even some of the mid-level guys. I mean, you could even, like, you could follow Dolph Ziggler around, and it could be just as comedic if you wanted to, but I think they have a whole lot of options they can go with reality shows, especially with talent that, not to lump Dolph Ziggler in this pack, that you're not necessarily so concerned about maintaining their credibility, which is kind of the level he's at this point.
All right. We appreciate it, Brian, and all the times you you jump on with us. We will be chatting with you in the new year. Have a great New Year's, a great rest of your Christmas day, even if it's working. And thanks again for joining us on the Review Away Christmas Show.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Mann stopping by.
Yeah.
After the little tease by way as we went to the countdown.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Brian.
Got to chat about numerous things with Brian. Entertainment, comics.
You know what? That's one of the great things about this past year is just this formation of the Law family. Look at all of our friends here.
There are only a few more entrants left on the showway.
Okay.
And we are going to be getting to them as well. Coming up next, we're going to have some maybe some familiar faces. Andrew writes into us, predictions for pro wrestling and MMA in 2014. I'm gonna read the prediction, and you say yes or no, if you agree.
Okay.
Batista makes his WWE return. Not quite of a prediction after this past weekend's news, but...
I agree.
A new flyweight champion will be crowned in the UFC. Demetrius Johnson loses his title.
Yeah, sure.
TNA files for bankruptcy.
I don't think so.
Bellator holds its first pay-per-view event.
True. Yes.
Daniel Bryan becomes WWE champion.
Yeah.
Undertaker wins at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
UFC holds its first event at Madison Square Garden.
No.
Eve Torres joins the UFC.
No.
A deceased pro wrestler will be diagnosed with CTE. That's not a very nice prediction. We're trying to keep it loose here. Like, way to just...
I think we're a few years away from
that. Be a downer here. John Jones and Alexander Gustafsson have a rematch for the UFC light heavyweight title.
Yeah.
Does that path get derailed by Glover Teixeira or Jimmy Manuwa? Their next fights individually.
Very possible.
But you think they fight?
I think so. I think they'll have a rematch regardless.
Okay. We've got one more song that's going to end off the show, but we have a few more guests, everyone. So here we go. Who's next?
Christmas.
No, hold on. Why are we on this show?
I don't know.
Well, they're not on our show.
We gotta change that.
Oh, I don't want to invite them on our show. We're like the new kids in town. We're the rookies.
It's true.
We're the ones that people don't like. In particular, you. No, wait a minute. No, people do not like me.
I got a lot of tweets today, because this week people were saying that I got...
No. This is the Christmas episode, so don't talk about this week.
Oh.
You can't say... That's one of the rules on Way and John's podcast. You don't say when you're recording... Because this went on Christmas morning. That's when people are hearing this.
Okay.
I meant to ask you about the one.
There's a girl in the background. Whose is that? Do we say that we're recording this in Pollock's apartment and he's forcing us to do this right before we go at Alfing?
I don't know. I'm just not used to doing this while looking at you and your beautiful eyes.
I know. We're staring directly at each other.
It's like I'm on a first date.
Yeah, it's weird.
You come here often?
This is really awkward, man.
Not anymore.
Well, no. Yeah. Well, that's John's wife now commenting in the background that I don't show up anymore. Well, we don't have to watch pay-per-views here anymore.
So, what do we want to talk about?
We're done. I don't like Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Fine.
Happy New Year.
Right.
You can listen to us.
People know.
That's what you just told me to say.
Oh, all right. Go ahead. That's enough. Okay, back to them.
I don't think we said anything.
Done. We're done.
Yeah.
Jason Agnew and Braden Harrington.
Oh.
Our pals of What's Next fame.
You should have said What's Next, not Who's Next.
Oh.
Let's redo it. Let's do it again.
What's Next?
Who? I mean, what? Oh, shit. We just fucked it up. Let's do it one more time.
No. We're moving on. Thanks to Jason and Braden. Maybe best breakout podcast this year and breakout performer in Braden.
Breakout for
what a year for Braden in 2013. I think we've created a star better than any organization this year.
Where's Braden's entry into our Christmas jingle contest? The guy clearly says he makes a song like a day.
He's a bit of a big timer, and he doesn't listen to us, so.
Well, then, never mind.
So, Way, that almost brings us down to the end here.
I know.
We're about to sign off here.
This is sad. We're in our fifth hour.
Now... On my format sheet, though, it says, though, that we have a surprise entrant
to finish off the review away. Merry Christmas Rumble.
Yeah, I didn't get this.
Do you not know who it is?
Who could be number 30?
I don't know who it's supposed to be.
Hmm.
Let's find out. Well, Wei, that was, I guess, a dead entrant. Maybe there was someone who was attacked in the back. We don't have a final entrant on the show. That's
yeah. What's going on?
There was someone that was supposed to come on, but I guess they're just not.
Let's look at the rundown. Who was supposed to come out?
Well, we had all of our entrants lined up, and we kind of
okay. There's somebody here. Let's see.
Wait, what? Hello.
What is that? What is that? A motor?
Hello?
An engine?
Hey, wake up!
Wait, what? Who's that?
Lloyd!
Lloyd!
Yes, yes.
Lloyd!
Jeez. Lloyd!
Oh,
Lloyd!
Finally up.
Oh.
What day is it?
Lloyd, you've been asleep for a week and a half.
Oh, gee.
You... I'm glad you're okay. I mean, do you have a history of like sleep apnea or what happened? Oh. I mean, you've been out now for 10 days.
Oh, that's insane, eh? I don't know what happened, but anyways, I'm up now.
What was your last memory of consciousness? You called in, we were going to talk about George St. Pierre, and then you were out.
I went to the bar that afternoon, had a couple beers, and then next thing I know, I called you guys up, I called George St. Pierre, and I'm falling asleep.
Man, well, Lloyd, in your absence, during your state of sleep, you have become, I think, the most famous caller in the history of live audio wrestling. I am willing to say that, having screened them all, and Sunday, December the 16th, one of our finest nights, getting to have you on the show.
That's good to hear.
I'm actually a little disappointed to hear your voice, because in my mind, you only exist as your breathing voice.
Well, Lloyd, let's finally get to your call that you wanted to chat with us about 10 days ago. What did you want to discuss that night? Let's see if it's still timely.
Okay, it's George St. Pierre in his retirement, and that's going to affect the pay-per-view buys, because Dana White always calls him the most popular pay-per-view fighter or something like that. But is it the pound-for-pound pay-per-view champion he calls him?
Yes.
And I just wanted to affect the pay-per-view buys, because I don't know how much the buys actually got affected years ago when Brock Lesnar left the UFC.
Yeah. They definitely went a bit south after Brock left, and now, it feels like years ago that we were talking about George St. Pierre retiring. I think that absolutely, Lloyd, I was talking about this week with some people, the fact that when you look at the early part of 2014, I mean, we've got Ronda Rousey, Chris Weidman, and Anderson Silva all fighting on the year-end card, so they're not going to be around for at least the first part of 2014. Cain Velasquez is hurt, Anthony Pettis is hurt, St. Pierre's gone at this point. I think that UFC on pay-per-view is absolutely going to take a tumble, at least in the first half of the year.
Yeah, for sure, right?
At what point did you wake up on Sunday and realize that you had missed the call?
The fight actually did wake up. It's probably around 1:30 in the morning my time, so...
1:30, so that would be like 3:30 p.m. Eastern time. What was...
Yeah.
Did you have any clue that you had gotten onto the show? Like, you must have downloaded the show the next day, and were you stunned when you suddenly realized, oh my god, that's me?
Yeah, I was like, I listened to the podcast the next day, the next morning, and like, I was just like listening to it, and says, Lloyd, and like, and Dan Laurenti says, this is God,
the
Lloyd.
Voice of God.
yeah, that was funny. I tell Dan that, tell him congratulations on his son's birth, this coming Saturday, or next Wednesday, whatever.
What? His son's birth?
Jesus.
He's the voice of God.
Oh, I see.
December 25th today.
Like, wow,
it's a big day.
That's news to me.
Yeah. Well, Lloyd, I want to thank you because afterwards, I never knew if I'd hear from Lloyd again, and he emailed me during the week and was like, I really wanted to know about George St. Pierre. And I was like,
yeah.
Well, Lloyd, you take the absolute – I'm always a fan of callers that can be in on the fun, and you clearly were. So kudos to you for a memorable law call. I believe that I got so many comments and tweets about Lloyd and worried if you had fallen out of consciousness, and we can now attest here on Christmas morning, Lloyd is okay.
How long exactly did you have to wait on the phone?
I was on the phone, it was like probably like 40 minutes I was waiting on cold for. I called up right before Meltzer came on. Like,
oh, we had a lot of calls.
That's the worst.
There was TLC calls.
That's the worst time to call in.
Yeah, when you always call after Meltzer.
You got to wait for Meltzer. You got, and then you got to wait for some interviews.
It can be tough. Well, Lloyd, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. I hope we hear you back on the law, because you are definitely a caller we definitely want to hear back from.
All right, thanks, John. And Wade, you have a nice give. Merry Christmas, too.
Hey, last thing. Predictions for this Saturday. Weidman and Silva and Tate Rousey. Who are you picking in those two fights?
It all depends what Silva's going to get in there. It's the Silva that's going to... It's Silva from the last fight, because he wasn't really into it, I found. He's, like, too much clowning around. If he comes back as the old Silva, he should beat Weidman. And for Rousey and Tate, I like to see Tate win, but I can't see Rousey losing at this point in their career.
Are you going to be able to stay up through the whole show?
Yes, I will.
All right. Don't do too much drinking on the night of 168.
I can't
promise. Don't
want
to miss that main event, double main event. All right. Thanks a lot, Lloyd. Thanks for joining us here on our Christmas show, and we'll chat with you soon, man.
Thanks, okay, Lloyd. Have a Merry Christmas, buddy.
See you, man. Too. Thanks. So there you go. What a way to cap off the Christmas show, way.
I can't believe
than the most famous caller we've had, easily of this year, if not ever.
I mean, I think that's a candidate for best interview of the year. Wow, how did you hook that up?
Guy just wanted his question answered about George St. Pierre and his impact on pay-per-view sales.
We got it. I'll be honest. I feel like my image of him was
you didn't want him to wake up.
Glorious, yeah. I want him to eternally sleep.
All right. Well, this has been a marathon edition of Review Away. This might be our longest show in history. I'm not quite sure.
No.
They'll fact check it if it's not.
I feel like we've done like an 8-hour show.
Well, we're going to get on out of here, everybody. Let you get to the rest of your Christmas day. Wei Ting is going to be back. Of course, we've got Review and Impact later this week. And then the best of 2013 coming up Sunday night, midnight Eastern on Live Audio Wrestling. Wei Ting will be in studio because people want to know what your list reads for 2013.
Please don't put me up like that.
Sunday, December 29th.
Nobody gives a shit.
The biggest cameo of the year, Wei Ting on Live Audio Wrestling. Right. It's a holiday.
Okay, sure.
All right. We're going to end off things with our final entrant. Here, how could we not end things off than with the latest song to drop from Braxton Witherspoon?
What?
It's Christmas Time with the Law. Jingle all the WAI.
Oh, God.
As we say Merry Christmas to everybody. Have a Happy New Year. And we're going to be back next week reviewing... We'll announce it on Impact this week.
Okay.
Man. Keep them hanging.
What? No, we'll do it one now.
Weighs hammered from this eggnog.
WWE
what?
WWE, the New Year's. Isn't there like a New Year's special?
New Year's Revolution?
Yes.
We're reviewing New Year's Revolution next week.
We've not done that one.
What year? 2005, 2006, or 2007?
2006.
You don't even know what it is.
I don't know.
All right, 2006 New Year's Revolution coming up next week as we celebrate New Year's here on Review Away. Braxton Witherspoon takes us out. Go on over to liveaudiowrestling.com. I feel dirty getting a plug in here on Christmas Day, but come on.
This has been great.
Got to push. This was a lot of fun. Will we do another one of these?
I think so.
Every week.
And first of all, let me just one more time, because it deserves to be said. Thank you to John Pollock for basically, for your whole year of work, but also for putting this behemoth of a show together, because
I don't know how I did it.
It's going to be, it's going to be a lot of work.
All right. Thanks to all of our guests today, Dan Lavransky, Jason Agnew, Braden Harrington, Chris Charlton, W.H. Park, Nate Milton, Jimmy Corderas, Court Bauer, Brian Mann, Alex Greenfield, Damian Abraham, Tom Lawler, and Lloyd from Calgary. What a guest list, way.
And all of you, especially those of you who made the effort to...
McGluff, Tom Carstairs,
Gaurav,
Tyler Burns.
Yeah.
So many of you. Too many to thank.
Braxton Witherspoon.
I've loved all the Christmas songs going directly to my iPod. Yeah. Maybe minus one song.
We should release an album.
The Review Away Christmas album has been created, everybody. Yeah.
Maybe we're gonna have to release this. We do iTunes. Reserve the right to own all of this if it's been submitted, right?
Oh yeah,
that was in the contract unofficially on Pro Boards.
Yeah, we own it now.
Okay, we're getting on out of here. We will chat with you later this week, and of course, best of 2013 Sunday night on Live Audio Wrestling. Take us out, Mr. Witherspoon.
Hello, everybody. I'm Braxton Witherspoon, and these are the Smart Marks. Hey! We got a very special song for you today about a very special time, Christmas time. Like to hear it? Here it goes. Christmas with the law. Let's look back at all the things we saw. Like Darlene winning TBT and bad 3 hour rolls. Joe Poe jumped the broom.
Hey, congratulations.
And Angry Agnew fused.
He sure did.
Braden wore his Cena shirt. Mouse laughter filled the room. Way and Gordon talked. Impact almost got bought. Then Hogan said, so long, my friend.
Brother.
And aces and eights flopped. Christmas times is here. My wish for all of y'all next year is that wrestling fans can once again watch the product without beer. Thank you very much, everybody. It's a wonderful season. Again, I want you all to go out and pick up our new record, Jingle All the Way, on Dixieland Records. It's what's best for business. I also want to thank everybody for buying our previous record, We Say This For Way. It was a number one hit on 2 non-consecutive weeks in Nova Scotia, so thank you. Thank you very much. You're too kind. You're too kind. I just want to say Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. I'm Braxton Witherspoon, and these are the Smart Marks. We'll see you next year, everybody. Serge, bring the car around. The Cadillac. No, the pink one. The pink one, Serge. Come on, man.